about.
Hello, folks. This is Coop Delicious with that Music 103. I'm rocking you all into the cold, frosty night. Well, morning now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
And I read that and I was all, huh? And then I was like, ah.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
He was like, what? And I'm all, no.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. And I'm like, motherf***ing.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
And now, I believe that the harder you... The more you put into it, you're more likely to get out of it.
Our feature presentation.
That last guy makes a good point. Makes a very good point.
Right? Hey, happy birthday to our friend Kevin of the Kevin Amina Archive. Put in some special requests for some of his favorite audio over the years here on the program. He, if you're unfamiliar with this, we try not to mention his site too much because it's a little bit, I won't say illegal, but unauthorized by CBS, shall we say. But it's a tremendous resource that he puts a lot of time and effort into and does a great job. I mean, he kind of is the unofficial historian of the program. We go to him for tape that we don't have.
A lot.
So God bless him, right?
Ask him a lot of questions. When do we do this? When do we do that? He has all answers.
Yes. I frequently, when we have a guest on that we haven't had on in, 5 years, I'll go to his site to refresh my memory of what this guy's all about, So anyway, and you'll notice a theme in the audio that we played. I mean, with Doto and the Armenian comedian and Big Tad and Ali, it's really just all freaks. I mean, He just has a thing for freaks.
Well, happy birthday, Kevin.
So there you go. So anyway, that's just a tip of the hat to a guy who has been a friend of the show for a long, long time. So we really appreciate him so much.
Tip of the hat. Something I've never said. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 21st of Rocktober.
Kevin, your level of interest in the fact that it is also...
Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
Back to the Future Day?
My level of interest?
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
I somehow suspected that.
If the movie was on, I would watch it.
Yeah.
I like it. But
it's cool and awesome that today
really...
is Back to the Future Day.
All right, good. It's cool and awesome.
Yes. This is the date that Marty
that he went to in the future.
Back to the Future.
Right.
Two.
Right.
You don't get it, man.
I get it, and it was a great movie. And again, I would watch the movie, but I
Back to the Future 2?
Whichever one.
That's the one.
I don't really care that today's the day that they picked to be the future date.
Do you, Bean? Man. Yes, I think it's awesome. I love it.
Define awesome.
I love the fact that the world still exists 30 years later.
That the world in general still exists?
200, it's 30.
Right, look, there's going to come a time where 30 years in the future, the world won't exist. So the fact that we're all still here is something to be grateful for.
We should have our chocolate milk now.
Let's go crazy with our chocolate milk drinking.
Do it.
Hey, let me get started with this story before we go. We have an excellent Kevin and Bean show for you today, but I wanted to do this story today because I find it interesting based on the success of the blood drive yesterday. They ended up closing the blood drive down early in terms of letting new people in because there were so many people still lined up by noon.
That's fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, it's great. So thank you to the Kevin and Bean listeners and the K-Rock listeners who went down to Universal yesterday, and Ralph got a chance to meet a lot of them yesterday, and they really, I think this is probably going to be the best year ever in terms of blood donations, and that's a very critical need for that. So
but they're
awesome.
Also out again right now, so we need to start again. That's okay.
So here's a story that involves people giving blood that I thought was interesting and really brings up I think it was a pretty cool idea. In some states, and this one happens to be in Alabama, if you owe money for a ticket, if you have a low-level infraction and say you owe $100, if you don't pay it, they send you to jail. All right? There's a judge there named Marvin Wiggins who has been on the court bench since 1999. He came up with a plan to offer an alternative. If you don't want to go to jail and don't have or want to pay the $100, he gives you the option of donating blood instead.
Hmm. Just one
now,
time? For a certain amount of time?
No, one time.
Okay.
If you give blood, it saves you the $100. And the way he looks at it is win-win, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it was recently revealed by one of the people in his courtroom who recorded him and passed the tape along to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has since filed an ethics complaint against him, saying that it is wrong, that he should not be allowed to – their point is he's a judge in the state of Alabama. You can't just make up rules. You know what I mean? But don't judges on a lot of cases have a great deal of discretion
I feel like they can make up rules.
Yeah, I feel like too. I mean, I've heard of cases where it's kind of like when they give you a community service and they say, "All right, I won't send you to jail, but you have to do 40 hours of picking up trash on the highway." I don't know why giving blood would be any different from that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You can hear the judge on the tape saying there's a blood drive outside. If you don't have any money, you don't want to go to jail as an option to pay it, you can give blood today. Bring in the receipt indicating that you gave blood, and then your case will be cleared.
Huh.
So anyway, there is an investigation right now seeing as to whether this is legitimate or not. The company, by the way, on the outside taking the blood, Life South Community Blood Centers, apparently have renounced the arrangement, saying that the employee who set it up had acted improperly. And that it was not authorized by their company, too.
Uh-oh.
So this was a couple of just rogue people who were just trying to change the system on their own. Like the judge and the guy taking blood are like, I got it. Let's do this. But anyway, I think it's an interesting idea. I mean, there's a critical need for blood. And, you know, it seems like Alabama could probably use the money. But it seems like this is a kind of another way to win, too, and kind of get people to donate. So I just thought it was interesting. It'd be curious to see if they come down to the judge for that.
I feel like it might be a waste of time to look into that case for everyone involved to come down on the judge for having people give blood. It seems like it is a win-win. So let's just move on, right?
I think so too. And I also think, and it's my final thought on this, is they should extend this arrangement to something with the sperm bank too.
It
seems like that'd be kind of another way.
No.
Because that's like a win-win-win.
No.
Right?
Really? Really isn't.
I would look forward to going to court.
Sure you would.
There's a lady outside in a van.
I don't think. Yeah,
I'm not sure how it works. But
yeah.
I thought it'd be cool.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
Do us all a favor and don't do that.
You are scared to death of something that will never happen to you, which Bean is. Bean is scared to death that he will wake up during surgery.
Yes.
Now,
happens to people all the time.
If you look at the world, it happens to people all the time. But probably if you were to look at the statistics just in Los Angeles, how many surgeries are done, how many people wake up.
Right.
I think the fact that yesterday it happened to two people in this room.
Thank you, Ellie. Did,
yeah.
My thought exactly.
Yeah.
When we were talking about it, we talked about two people. It didn't happen yesterday to two people.
Right, but it has happened to you, and it has happened to Travis Barker, who
right.
was in yesterday. I'm saying that's two people out of the five of us that were in the room it has happened to. What makes you think it's so crazy that it might happen to me one day?
Well, you're the healthiest man alive.
First of
all.
So
right, why would you be having a surgery?
I give up organs about once a year.
Sure, that's true.
So... Well, we'll talk about it later.
I look at those numbers like I do, jumping out of a plane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people die. Most people, vast majority of people have a great time. It's fine. No problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are the chances, A, that it's going to happen to you specifically, and B, that your whole fear of waking up and then it's also not being able to respond, right? You're awake, but you can't tell people that you're awake.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I'll give you $100 if it happens in your lifetime.
How about that? I would pass on that bet. I would prefer it just didn't happen.
All right.
We'll discuss later.
Star Wars is racist, so there's a group that is boycotting Star Wars 7.
Oh, thank God. They can't keep making filth like that and put it up on screens for kids to see.
Is there any group that is going to be less successful than that?
Nope.
Boycott Star Wars 7.
Well, if you're willing to live in a world where you just put black people and women up on the screen, Kevin, then fine. That's your America.
We're going to do Does Kevin Know for K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball tickets, where you can win $5,000 for the best costume.
The answer is no.
Gwyneth Paltrow continues to give out great, great advice on her.
Well, she's a doctor.
No,
she's not
a doctor.
Doctor at all.
Or good advice, really.
Oh,
really.
She does none of that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that today on the Kevin and Bean Show. And comedian Anthony Jeselnik in studio.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Allie, look at that thick, luxurious head of hair right there.
I thought it when he walked in. It's
seriously.
A great hair day today.
Great, Scott. Thank you.
Talking about
I have amazing hair. I've gone into the future and found an amazing shampoo.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
I'm not Ralph Garman.
Oh, no.
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, welcome from the past.
Thank you. This is amazing.
Right?
I can't wait to watch Jaws 19. Which one of you is Marty? No one? Then I have to be going.
Okay. Ralph.
Bye, Doc.
You're with me that it's
bye,
awesome.
Doc.
Today's Back to the Future Day, right?
Yes, I, for one, love to obsess about something that happened 30 years ago that's basically irrelevant.
Okay,
that's good. Me.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I'm that
guy. Because Kevin was poo-pooing it.
Well, look at him. Look at him all.
I don't know what that means.
look at him all poo-poo-y. It's all his poo-ness.
You said it's amazing.
And cool.
Cool.
It is cool.
It's neither. It's
awesome.
It's a footnote. It's a minor footnote in cinematic history that has somehow become a thing.
Fun. But it's kind of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Wait, define fun.
It's fun.
It's amusing. It's mildly amusing. You know, it's not amazing. That's what it's not.
It's not fun either.
You really need to open up a dictionary and take a look at the word amazing and then see if it applies in this particular case. I think you'll find a discrepancy.
At the time that movie was out, it seemed so far into the future. And now, many of us...
like 30 years into the future.
Right. About 30 years, yeah, roughly. Many of us have survived it, though, and are able to be here on the other end of that prediction, which I think is pretty cool.
The latest string of things that surprise and impress Bean are phenomenal.
It really is something.
Hey, I like that we have guests that come back that we've had before.
Yeah.
That was just blew his mind yesterday.
That was something.
It's amazing.
Like that.
We've been on the air long enough that people come back that have been on here before. We talk to them again.
Wow, that truly is amazing.
We sort of have a relationship with them.
There was a movie that came out 30 years ago, and I'm still alive. That's what's impressing him today.
I don't take anything for granted, man. You know me. I'm the most... the positive person
that's
in the world.
True. That's
I would like
true.
To get the DeLorean and go back 30 years and kick your ass. That's what I'd like to do with a time machine. And then come back to the present.
It would make today
and kick
much
your
easier
ass again. Just travel through time, just kicking your ass. Well, as we've
been. Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
Yes, today is Wednesday, October the 21st, 2015. Back to the Future Day, some are calling it.
Are some calling it amazing?
Some are. Hmm. Here's what they predicted in that movie, by the way.
Okay.
If you're keeping score, This is what actually came true that the movie predicted way back there 26 years ago. All right, you ready?
All right, go. Ready.
Big screen TVs. Boom.
Check.
Got it right. Virtual reality goggles. Happened.
Check.
Drones. Individually owned drones.
Wow.
Computer-controlled door locks.
Yeah.
That make this noise. High-tech glasses.
What is that?
Where
mean?
You could see computer readouts and information in them, a.k.a.
Yes.
Google Glass.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, okay.
Self-lacing shoes. Sure, Nike did it because of the movie, but it's kind of the snake eating its tail, but still it happened. They predicted Nike would have self-lacing shoes, and they didn't have self-lacing shoes. Right?
Right.
Right.
Well said.
Stuff that didn't happen?
Hoverboard.
No hoverboard, yeah. You're right.
It's BS.
Pizza hydrators.
Pizza hydrators.
You can put a little wafer inside a pizza hydrator and then turn on, and the nice thing, boom, you have a nice piping hot delicious pizza.
That'd be amazing.
Oh,
right? Why
didn't
they get on that? Why are they slacking on
that
invention?
Oh, screw Seriously. Google Glass. I want that.
Sounds awesome.
Jaws 19.
Right.
Never came to be.
I think we got to what, four?
Yeah. I think we did, we got Sharknado, though.
Yeah, which is way better. Sure.
It's kind of a trade-off. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Fusion, lastly, Mr. Fusion, the home energy-creating device that would use waste to generate electricity. So we're not turning garbage into power, unless you refer to the Kevin and Bean Show, which is what we do on a daily basis. Also, Cubs would win the World Series in 2015.
That was the prediction.
They are one night away from being wrong about that.
How's that going? Well.
Yeah.
They're down 3-0, right? They are indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is sad, because I have a lot of friends who are Cubby fans, and I would like to see them celebrate, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year.
Now,
Marty,
let me ask you guys
don't
this.
Bet on that almanac. Some of the facts are wrong.
If the Cubs come back, win this series against the Mets, and then go on and beat probably the Royals in the World Series, would that then be an amazing prediction from Back to the Future 2?
It would be pretty interesting.
The fact that they haven't won a World Series in 100 years, and then they win this year, the same year that the movie predicted they would. I would be allowed to be excited about that, right?
Excited? How about bemused?
Come on, it's better.
Can you just be bemused? He doesn't have that category.
It's true.
He's got all hate or all love.
Or passion. Those are the two ends of his spectrum. But the Cubs, to get to the World Series and to conquer the Royals and then to move on, they will never beat Royals.
Oh, wow.
Royals.
Wow. File.
They will never beat Royals.
Sorry, we're out of time.
I'm going to get back in the DeLorean. You people don't appreciate me. That joke would slay in 1955.
Long before Lord was born and recorded that song.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Judge Judy Scheindlin. You know her best as Judge Judy. 73 years old today.
I want you to answer my question.
I don't remember your question, Judge Judy, but you scare
That's
me.
That's baloney.
That's, you scare
it
me.
It doesn't make sense.
You scare me because you're old but powerful.
Not interested, sir.
She makes $45 million a year, by the way.
So you get zippo, nada.
I get none of that from her. Despite our previous agreement, she pays me nothing.
She does get all money.
Star Wars fans celebrate today as well. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia herself, is 59 years old today. Actor Ken Watanabe celebrates his 56th birthday. Porn star Kim Kardashian turns 35 years old. Amber Rose. She's lovely. She's 32 years old today. She's got back.
Yes, she does.
In the words of Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I'm not sure that that's how he said it, but...
She has back. She is possessing back. She's in possession of back.
Right, I think that's it.
And front, for that matter. And Dodgers pitcher Zach Greinke. He's 32 years old today. What do they need to win to get to the World Series?
They need him back. Oh, you mean this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not gonna.
I don't think.
I
that's
don't follow baseball very
I think
closely.
They're out.
What?
Yeah.
That seems ill-advised.
Yeah, that's not.
Why be
ideal.
Out when you can be in?
Well, they didn't have the option of being in, so
well,
they were out.
Then someone needs to take a good, long, hard look at that rule book that they have there, up there at Canton.
Right.
Where's their headquarters? Baseball? Where's the baseball headquarters? New Orleans? Where is it?
I don't know where their headquarters are in New York. Major League Baseball is headquartered in New York.
That doesn't sound right.
What's happening?
Can you do some research on that and get back to us?
Ralph, go back in time before you started the Showbiz Report. And then throw it away.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Comedian Anthony Jeselnik joins us later here on the program. By the way, his new special out on Netflix. If you got any evenings coming up with your parents, we're going over your folks' house to kind of hang out, or maybe the holidays, you're starting to think about Thanksgiving,
grandparents,
the whole family can watch together. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Jeselnik's special is exactly where you want to be. So we'll talk to him about that coming up. Star Wars, all about the Star Wars. Allie told us yesterday she was on the computer, like millions of other people, already buying her ticket. She's already got her date and time to go see Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens. Not everybody is as excited about Star Wars as you are, though, Allie.
Wow, they're wrong.
There's a guy online. He's not alone. He calls himself Captain Confederacy, and he is complaining that this movie is a disgrace because of how many women and minorities are starring in it. Whatever happened to the good old days when white people like Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker were the focus of a Star Wars movie? Where's those days is what he wants to know.
Yeah, that's real?
Yes, it's real. He is griping that social justice warriors often complain about white artists misappropriating culture, which we've heard in complaints about, you know, people like Iggy Azalea and Miley Cyrus, they say, who are just, you know, ripping off black culture. But what about why celebrate a non-white Star Wars? He says the movie should be boycotted. It is nothing more than social justice propaganda piece that alienates its core audience of young white males. And I know this sounds ridiculous, and it sounds – a lot of people will say, well, why give them the attention? Why don't you just ignore it and it'll go away? But then there's another school of thought that says you ignore these kind of fringe movements and they gradually move toward the mainstream. You need to squash them. You need to deal with them head on.
Is that what we're about to do?
Yes, that's exactly what we're about to do. That's why we asked producer Dave to line somebody up from the group, and I guess this is Bobby Joe Nichols. He is the national chairman of SWACAD. I'm sorry, Mr. Nichols. We're glad you're on the show, but I don't...
Huh.
I wasn't really expecting that. Now, are we calling him? Is he calling us? Or?
Well, I thought we already had him on hold.
I thought we had him on hold as well.
But apparently someone's anyway, calling us.
He's the manager, chairman of SWACAD. Let's see if we can get Bobby Joe on the line and find out what that's all about.
You're afraid of the truth. That's the problem.
There you are. We didn't mean to hang up with you.
You want to keep me off your liberal airwaves because you're afraid. You're scared of the truth.
Nope, we invited you to come on to give you the platform.
Yeah, you invited
so
me on, and then you slammed the door in my face, but now let me be on this here radio.
You're on now, sir.
What?
You're on now.
You're on. We're on the air.
Billy, very soon I'm on radio now.
What is SWACAD?
That's my group, SWACAD.
Right.
What does it stand for?
Does it stand for anything?
Yeah, it stands for Star Wars All Caucasian and Dudes.
That is a terrible name of an organization.
Because you're scared of it. That's why you're just plumb scared of it.
Well, I think maybe you're scared of it. Why?
Oh, look at the woman being a talker.
Oh. Ooh. I know. That's
let me go talky-talk
real
now.
Frightening for you, isn't it?
Okay, you just now stop with all your... Don't you have some baby making to do?
Sadly, no. But thank you for bringing that up.
Listen, Bobby Joe.
Make me a sandwich.
Let's first start by addressing what a lot of people are saying, which is, are you just doing this to get some sort of attention? You can't possibly mean that you don't think black people and women should be in movies.
First of all, no, I'm not just looking for attention. If I'm looking for attention, I do what I usually do. Go to the Walmart without my pants on.
Okay.
But this is for reals. I want to make sure that we keep white culture white. And I'm telling everyone, cross sign, boycott Star Wars VI1.
Okay, that's hashtag Star Wars 7 is what you're trying to say. The social media hashtag.
I don't have much book learning, but I know VI1 is not a 7.
It is a 7.
It's spelled the 1.
Well, that's okay. It's a Roman numeral.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't live in Roman. I live in America.
That's a good point.
Right?
Now,
point me.
Okay. All right.
But artistically, shouldn't a writer and a filmmaker be able to tell whatever story they want with whoever they choose to write about and portray?
Listen, here's the thing about Star Wars. Used to be we had a good Star Wars. We had Luke, who was white, and we had Han, who was white. And then we let him have a girl. We see that was the problem, is we let him have a girl in the story, and the next thing you know, now we got this. Point me!
Okay, what about Wookiees and Ewoks? I mean, did they pose a problem to you? They're not even American.
They're not American, but they are dogs. A Wookiee is a dog.
No.
And I have my own dogs, and they're fine. And I have a dog myself named Chewie. And he goes out, and I call him that. Not because of Chewbacca, because he chews things, but he is my friend just like he was friends to Han Solo.
Right.
And so that's okay. You can have animals in space, but there are no black people in space. That's science. Point me.
What about Billy D. Williams? Wasn't he in the original ones?
Yeah,
because he was a traitor.
He was a traitor.
He first of all, was a traitor because he said, hey, Black Vader, there's the people there. Those are the ones you want. Save myself. Point me.
Well,
now
I think
we got a hero, a black hero. First of all, stormtroopers are white. It says so right there in their uniforms.
Okay, but that's just the uniform. That's just what they're wearing on the outside.
The uniform's a contract.
I'm not sure it is.
On the inside.
All right, we're out of time, Bobby Joe, but
oh,
I have to ask.
You are. Scared of me. Scared of me.
We give you plenty of time. How do you feel? How do you
like
feel?
8 points.
You do. It's 8-0. It's great.
How do you feel the boycott is going when you see that servers are crashing on the internet all over the world with people lining up to try to buy tickets for this movie?
I don't care what waiters are dropping their plates in restaurants. How that got to do with anything?
No, I'm talking about the internet websites crashing is what I'm talking about.
Listen, I don't live in your future Roman times, okay?
Okay.
I don't know your fancy numbers,
right,
or all about your servitude. All I know is white is right. Star Wars white. Swiss, swiss, swiss. SWW. I might change my name or organization. Star Wars white. SWW.
Well, good luck with that.
That ain't Roman.
Good luck with. By the way, the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball is happening on October 30th. You know, the traditional date you celebrate Halloween, October 30th. At the El Rey, lots of the K-Rock DJs are going to be there. A costume contest worth $5,000 and live music from Cage the Elephant, Peking Duck, and DJ Jeremiah Red. It's going to be an awesome, awesome show. Get all the details at K-Rock.com, and we'll give you a chance to win those coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock.
Got a great email. Kevin, I want to solicit your attention for a business deal, which I will discuss with you confidentially. I will supply additional information when I get a response from you. That's great news, everybody,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
No additional information? They're not telling you what it's about or anything?
No, but I...
Just an opportunity.
I figured it was a good opportunity. Yes.
Yeah.
I sent him my bank account, my social security number and stuff like that, so that's all good.
Well, I mean, if that's what they need to get started,
right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. I'm looking for good business deals. Also, we were talking about tipping, the lack of tipping or tipping. Should restaurants just increase the price of food and then just pay everybody a flat rate, or should there still be tipping? And Nicole has a bit of a strong opinion on this. This is an awful idea. Heaven forbid someone make more money than someone else. This follows the current state of affairs in the U.S. Everyone gets a trophy. Thumbs down.
So thanks, Obama, is where she's coming from.
That's what she's saying, yeah.
We did get a lot of response to this. This has been in the news lately because of a well-known restaurateur who owns a bunch of places in New York City has instituted that as a policy, and people are wondering if this is going to spread, the no-tip policy. Listen to this. Rob writes in, if the service is bad, because that was the thing a lot of people were saying, is there's no motivation now for waitstaff to give you good service if there's no tip at the end of it. Rob argues, if the service is bad, you complain to the waiter's boss like you would with any other business. Enough complaints and the person will lose their job. The motivation to do a good job would be the same as any non-tipped job. The system the restaurateur in New York is using will be more equitable for back of house and then guarantee regular income for the wait staff too, not a rate dependent on the whim of customers. I speak as a man who worked in bars and restaurants for many years, says Rob. Bill writes in, no tips is a great idea. I hate the expectation these days that everything someone does deserves a tip. When I go to Europe, tipping is appreciated but not expected. Wait staff should just do a good job because it's their job. And that's what a lot of people have brought up, which is why is service in a restaurant different than 99% of the other jobs of people that you encounter in the course of your day that don't get tips, for instance?
I feel like it's set up financially for them to – that's how they make money, though.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's set up that way.
And maybe now it's changing. I guess we'll have to wait and see how popular it becomes. Here's a listener who needs our help. This is Jill who's writing in, and she has a who's the dick question in her own marriage that she's looking for our help on.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I was planning for last Friday night's high school football event. My husband, Jeff, said he would go home and feed the dog, grab the jackets, etc. I packed our daughter's overnight bag and left it right there by the front door. I texted him that I had packed the bag, but when he turned up at my parents' house without it, saying the text said that I had it. Again, you follow that? She texted him that I packed the bag, and he thought that meant that she had the bag with her, that she had packed it and brought it instead of that it was still sitting by the front door and he was supposed to bring it. Who's the dick, me for my ambiguous text or him for leaving the bag right there by the door? Where, as I type this to you, we are driving late to the game in a stony silence, says Joe.
Well, if she didn't say, I left the bag right by the door, can you grab it? I have found in my travels, you have to be very, very specific with gentlemen. Don't leave anything open for interpretation.
What? But women are mind readers, though? You don't have to be specific when you're giving instructions to a lady?
Less so.
For the most part, yeah.
I'm sorry, who's the dick? I'm sorry to say this because Jill sounds like a nice lady and I appreciate that she wrote, but I'm afraid she might be the dick in this case. I feel like her husband saw I packed the bag and it's understandable why he would think that that meant I brought the bag with me.
She's the dick.
I'm afraid so. I think Jill may be the dick. I got a bunch of emails about that all kind of related to a beer mug. One is from Lugar, who writes in, I'm a podcast listener, a little behind on this, but is Mama Mugs a real person, or is that Ralph doing an impression?
I can understand why that question is being asked, because she is a cartoon.
It is hard to believe, but yes, we can tell you that Mama Mugs is a real person, and is, in fact, Beer Mug's mother. Ralph writes in, this is Karen writing in, Dear Kevin and Bean, what it do? I have an idea for a new contest bit. Beer Mug drums the hits. He's always talking about his beats and how awesome he is. Let him drum the tune of some of the songs from the band that you're trying to give tickets away to. It can't be worse than Kevin blow hums the hits, says Karen.
Well, I don't know. It's possible.
That's a pretty good idea, right? And this one also involves a beer mug. This one is one that was sent to Ralph. I heard your rule about killing things with a paper towel. Remember we were having that discussion about what kind of insects you should kill in your house? Mm-hmm. And Ralph's theory is if you can kill it with a paper towel, it should be killed, right? It got me to thinking, isn't it the paper towel that kills this? It's not the paper towel that kills the spider. It's the pressure created by your hand that kills. While I agree that snakes might be too difficult to kill with a paper towel, how about taking beer mug out? With enough pressure, you can kill him, seeing how he's too fat and lazy to move out of the way, just like a snake would. Just a suggestion. Love the show. Jesse O. So kill Beer Mug with Ralph and a paper towel in his hand.
That seems aggressive.
It does seem like it's a little much.
Yeah.
But if he showed up in my house, I would do it.
You
have to stand your ground. Podcast listeners are great. Okay, so sorry, just getting caught up listening to Friday's podcast. I find it very odd that Stryker had never tasted coffee, watermelon, or peanut butter.
So far, so good.
Oh, you weren't here for that.
That's right, Allie. You were gone when Stryker filled in for Showbiz Beat on Friday and told us he had never had any of those three food items.
What?
Yes, that's what he said.
Coffee, peanut butter, and watermelon had never crossed his lips.
A lot of time, I think it was a texture issue, but then we did a call-in topic of other people, and Chastity goes on to say, but shut up, Bean. You've never been drunk or high, so you lose.
But that's not
human. You shouldn't be able to judge the topic. Thanks. Right, that is all.
But peanut butter you have when you're like three. All right. Finally, Julio writes in. Hey, this is just from a few minutes ago. What a surprise, you guys. Kevin went to put the guy calling in about Star Wars on the air, but hung up on him instead. Uh-huh. Why do you let that guy anywhere near the phones? Have you learned nothing from past experience? Julio, it's interesting you should bring that up. I think Kevin does have a record of hanging up on people. Follow me, Shields, on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. I listen to Serena's
Home Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
And I know you can be a celebrity or just an average joke. And you bet Kevin's hanging up on you. He just hung up.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great.
You could be Brooke Shields or Bono. You can be Megan Fox or Sir Paul.
And it's always fun to catch up with you on the Kevin Beach Show. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, man, thank you very much. I look forward to you to see the film. So I think it's out on the film. I really do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kevin.
I just can't stop hanging up on you. Because I love it. Because I love it.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
Listen, that's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at Big X.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Make it a day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Oops. You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye. That guy has a point. He was saying goodbye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
That K-Rock Halloween costume ball we were telling you about coming up on the 30th at the El Rey with Cage the Elephant performing live. We want you to be there. Call us now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn it. We got a game that we're going to be playing for Halloween costume ball tickets just after 7. So call now. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I know what I'm going as. I've got my lab coat and my crazy hair. I'm going as Bernie Sanders.
Doc Brown does kind of look like Bernie Sanders.
I think you're right, yeah. It is, of course, Back to the Future Day. This was the date. Bean, hit it.
Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
Day that Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Elizabeth Shue all went back. Or went forward. Back to the future. In the forward to the past. Stroke. They went to Hill Valley, California. Actually, they didn't get there, I don't think, until 4:29 this afternoon.
Okay. Well, then what are we doing?
So we might want to hold off the celebration until later on.
So it's not awesome yet, Bean.
Yeah. Because okay. They had to do something about Marty and Jennifer's kids, you know?
Sure. I haven't seen those movies in a long time.
Then you're a horrible person.
Do they hold up?
Yes. 100% yes.
How about the third one, The Wild West, Back to the Future?
That was never really the strongest, even in its day. But okay. There's a lot of enjoyable moments in it.
All right.
There's Buford Tanner.
Buford Tanner?
Biff's ancestor. Right. McFly!
I'm sure they'll all be on TV today.
Listen here, Skippy Joe. Right. Listen to what I tell you.
Okay.
Screenings of Back to the Future 2 are happening in 1,700 theaters across the country tonight. If you'd like to see it back up on the big screen tonight, just look on Back to the Future 2 online. You can find a screening near you. Also, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you're able to stream all three Back to the Future movies for free this month.
Do you have to do all three, or can you just do one and two?
You can do as many or as few as you like, Kevin.
I'm going to watch them all.
You're not going to watch them all. You're not going to watch one. You won't watch a YouTube clip from one of them.
My wife told me yesterday she never saw any of the Back to the Future movies. And I told her...
And you're going
to
force feed her all three of them tonight?
How much she would enjoy it. And I think maybe that should be our goal. We can watch all three of them. You say they're streaming for free all month, right?
Yes.
Such a big liar.
You're not going to watch
them. I'm in. Bean's in now that they're free.
Yeah. I'm in. Still not.
I didn't know. It's happening on the computer and it doesn't cost me any money. This is the greatest day ever. I'm excited. It's exciting and cool. Yeah.
No.
How about you want a DeLorean?
No.
DeLoreans are popping up all over eBay now with all the success and excitement about Back to the Future Day. You can pick one up for as little as $32,000.
How about
for a used DeLorean? That you can't find parts for or really drive much anymore.
And it was a terrible car, right?
$32,000. The worst.
It was a disaster.
A nightmare. Couldn't get in, couldn't get out, wouldn't drive, would break down all the time. It was a nightmare. It was a horrible, horrible car. $32,000 can be yours.
All right,
good.
Hey, geeks, want to let you know today at 11:30 a.m. That's Pacific time. That's our time.
Okay, 11:30. Right
11:30. Bob Kane. Creator of Batman is getting a star posthumously on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. right in front of the Guinness World Records Museum on Hollywood Boulevard, which, by the way, is right near Adam West's star. So they'll be close together.
All right.
The Batmobile from Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice will be on display. So you can come on out.
That's not the one you arrived at your wedding in.
No, mine was the OG Batmobile from 1966. This is the latest version of the Batmobile that you'll be able to see in the upcoming Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice film.
All right.
So, go on out.
Hey, Ruff, is Bob Kane a guy who got incredibly wealthy from Batman, or is he a guy who was working for the company and made $50 for creating the character?
Kane was the first guy to arrange a licensing agreement with a comic book company regarding his creation.
Smart dude.
Very smart dude. What he did was, it was a nominal fee. He never got rich off of it, but he was always credited from the very first pages of Batman, from 1939 on, every Batman comic book always had his name created by Bob Kane in it. And that didn't happen for any of the creators of the superheroes. And he always received a percentage, stipend, whatever it was, for all the projects in which the comic book superhero was related to. So he made a nice living off of Batman. That's why you always saw him out promoting everything, whether it was the TV series or the movies with Tim Burton or whatever. He was always out there selling, because the more Batman money was made, more he got too. So a lot of people are upset because Bill Finger, which was a guy that worked for Bob Kane, came up with a lot of the mythos that is Batman. Like, for example, the costume.
Just
Robin,
that? Only that?
Gotham
Robin?
City.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
These are the things that this guy,
what
Bill
did Bob
Finger,
come up with?
Bob came up with the idea to do a contract with DC Comics that his name would be on everything forever. That's basically what he came up with.
Wow.
And so Bill Finger, who was one of the co-creators of Batman, was largely ignored because of this agreement that he had with DC for generations. And just now, DC Comics has made an agreement with his family. They're going to start putting Bill Finger's name on with everything else that is Batman attached, starting with like the Gotham TV series. He's going to be credited on that and all the upcoming future stuff. So, although it's a nice day for Bob Kane to get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a lot of people are thinking about Bill Finger today, who did a lot of the heavy lifting when it came to creating Batman.
I remember Bill Finger was also your porn name, and I was trying to figure out where that came from, and now I see that it was just
wrong.
A tribute to Batman.
That was Bobby Thumb, remember?
Oh, you're Bobby confused. Thumb, that's right. Darn it.
Because I was doing this.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I remember the thumb. The,
yes,
we don't need Ralph
right.
Garman
ever
move.
See
looks
that.
Like this.
It's Bobby
Thumb. Today's celebrity birthdays: Judge Judy Shiloh, 73 years old today. Actress Carrie Fisher is 59.
Okay, can I get a ruling on?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Okay. No.
Not
listen.
Even,
she's
no.
She's
listen.
Not worth an OG
no.
All
no.
Time.
Really? No. Sorry.
No.
Okay.
We're no.
I think you guys
hey.
Are sick.
We don't live in the past, Marty. We can right. only give out bells for people as they are.
All right, that hurts me, but I accept your score.
Ken Watanabe is 56 years old today. Kim Kardashian, the porn star, she's 35. Amber Rose. Oh, Amber Rose. You know, usually I'm going to go for the shaved head look.
She can pull it off?
She pulls it off. 32 years old today. Zach Greinke, 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I miss that band, by the way, no doubt. I miss them.
Okay.
Still around.
I like them so much.
What do you want
much.
Us to do about that?
They're there.
Hey, how about the K-Rock Halloween party bash ball? It's going to be coming up on October 30th at the El Rey. Cage the Elephant is going to be performing. Peking Duck DJ Jeremiah Red is going to be there. There's a $5,000 costume contest. We would like you to go with a little game that we like to call Does Kevin Know?
Does Kevin Know? Does Kevin know? Well, there seems to be some doubt. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out. Well, we know he has some knowledge, but it might be pretty small. He thinks he went to college, but he really can't recall. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out.
By the way, according to the Kevin Bean Archive, this is the first time we played this game since May of 2014.
Wow.
It's been too long
it's
since
been
we've
too
asked
long
this, Kevin.
Since wow. We've mocked me.
Will
wow.
Kevin know when was
this.
The last time we played
May
this
game? May of 2014.
Hey, oh. No.
Boom. All right, here's the way the game is played. I'm going to ask a question to a caller on hold. All they have to do is guess whether Kevin is going to know the answer or not. So it's really, Kevin, this isn't about you at all. The
right.
point isn't
right,
whether
sure.
you know something or not.
No, I know.
The point is whether the listener is able to guess whether you will correctly come up with the
right.
answer or not. And
no
if
one,
so, they go into the drawing.
No one blames the roulette wheel in Vegas, Kevin. It's about the person right. guessing what number the ball will land on. The wheel
exactly.
is innocent.
This is where Bean says, oh, no, it's a chance for you to really shine.
It is.
It is.
You could have
chance for you to really shine.
You could not. The reason we haven't played this in so long is because you were knocked it out of the park
right?
last time.
You're too good at it.
That's
so
right.
It's no fun if you know all the answers.
Both of you shut up. Let's go to Samantha in Norwalk. Hi there, Samantha.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for listening. You ready to play Does Kevin Know?
We got to get Kevin out of the he can't hear
ready.
It, right? We're going to waterboard him or something? Is that what we do? I forget.
I think so. I think he turns his headphones down and puts his fingers in his ears.
Okay.
So he's
right.
impervious to the conversation.
Okay.
Look at him. What a dick he is.
Yep, he can't hear it.
Okay, can. All right. All right, Samantha, here's the question. 2015 seems to be the year that fantasy football has invaded our television screens almost full time. There are two competing companies that seem to be buying commercials in every single TV show on the air.
Can Kevin name the two popular fantasy football businesses that are on TV all the damn time? Will he be able to come up with the names DraftKings and FanDuel? What do you think?
I don't think so.
You think no, Samantha?
You say no.
Write that down.
He does watch a lot of football, and they do advertise it every single commercial break.
I think he's got this. I think he's going to be able to get it.
I don't think he'll get FanDuel.
You don't think he'll get both?
Mm-mm.
All right, we'll see.
All right, so let's bring Kevin back into the mix. Hey,
Chip
Dog.
Did you guys tell Chip to flip me off during that entire segment? Because she was.
Was she flipping you off?
I think she's just letting you know that we still needed you out of the room.
Right.
All right, say hi to Samantha. She's on the phone.
Hey, Samantha.
Good morning.
All right, here's the question, Kevin. 2015 seems to be the year that fantasy football invades our television screens almost full time. You can't get away from those fantasy football commercials. Can you name the two fantasy football companies that are advertising all the time on TV right now?
I hate fantasy football.
Right. But still, it's everywhere. And if you watch sports, you're...
FanDuel.
Wow.
That is one.
That is one.
Wow.
Shut up, Allie. And fantastic.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know the other one.
No. Doesn't have it. I believe Samantha did say no, so she is corrected in the drawing. Ralph, what did you say?
I said no as well.
I said yes.
I thought he wasn't going to get it.
I didn't think you'd get FanDuel. No. I thought you'd get DraftKings.
DraftKings
for the other one.
All right, Samantha,
you're in the drawing. Congrats. Hold on.
Okay, good.
Well done. All right, let's meet our next contestant, shall we?
Patrick and Downey, hi.
What did you?
All right, Patrick, we're going to escort
Kevin.
That
was the only one I thought Kev was going to get, by the way. So I think we're in for an interesting game.
Kevin can no longer hear us, Patrick, so it's just you and me. Hillary Clinton is running for president right now. Some voters say they cannot vote for her because they believe her incompetence led to the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi when she was Secretary of State. My question for you, Patrick, will Kevin be able to identify the country in which Benghazi, which, by the way, is on the news every hour of every day all year long, will he know what country Benghazi is located in?
I think he's got it.
You think he does know?
Wow.
You think Kevin is going to come up with Libya?
I am confident in Kevin.
All right.
Okay. Patrick.
I say Kevin's a kid. He doesn't watch the news. Yeah. So no way he comes up with it. I say no.
Allie?
I'm going to say absolutely no.
Wow.
Yeah. Bold. Yeah. I'm with the girl on this one. All right. Let's bring him back in.
Kevin?
This is really the only time in life where they go, okay, we're going to make fun of you behind your back.
We're not making fun of you.
We're just asking questions.
Shut up. What are the questions?
All right. Say hi to Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Hey, okay. Wait. Did you say yes or no?
It doesn't matter.
You can't throw it. We don't want you to throw
it.
Play it honest. Play it straight.
Patrick, like I have any choice.
Patrick and I were talking about how Hillary Clinton is running for president.
Correct. True.
Some feel that the Benghazi scandal, the U.S. embassy that was attacked while she was Secretary of State, may derail her attempt because a lot of people think she mishandled that. The question for you, Kevin, is in what country is the embassy in Benghazi located? In what country will you find the city of Benghazi?
What country?
I have absolutely no idea.
All right. I think Patrick.
Patrick said yes, you would get that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Patrick.
Yeah.
It was Libya.
Libya
is where Benghazi
is. Oh, that's
is.
I was just Libya. About to say it.
I know. No, it was on the tip of your tongue.
I'm sorry.
Ralph, I believe you were a no, and Allie, you were a hell no?
Yeah.
We don't need a hell no.
Absolutely no way, I believe, was the actual
yes
answer.
Yes or no is fine.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I'm sorry you are not going to be in the drawing for the Halloween Ball tickets, but thank you for playing. I think we just have time for one more contestant.
Jeremy did not go with the safe money, by the way. He was real.
I think that was actually Patrick.
That last guy was Patrick. Jeremy is next.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy's next. Patrick's already off the phone.
Patrick did not go for the safe money.
All right. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Good luck.
Going great.
To you, too.
Let's say goodbye. Does Jeremy know?
Let's say goodbye to Kevin.
Kevin's going away. Hold on. He is now gone. Okay.
All right, Jeremy, first albums were dead, then CDs were killed off, and now it looks like downloads are on the way out as a result of all the music in the world being available on streaming services like Beats Music, like Spotify, like Pandora. Earlier this year, Jay-Z got into the streaming business by buying a Norwegian streaming company. Will Kevin know the name of Jay-Z's streaming company, Tidal? Will he be able to come up with the word Tidal? What say you, Jeremy?
You know, Kevin's got to know something, and let's hope this is it. I mean, he is in the music industry, right?
You're adorable. You're adorable, Jeremy.
So you're saying yes.
You're saying yes.
You have confidence in our man, Kevin. Okay.
I'm saying no, he will not remember that.
I think he will.
Wow.
Yeah,
Allie.
I think he
it's
will.
It's on the news a lot. I mean. Mm.
And he does like Jay-Z and he does like music. You're right.
But hey, this one can go either way for me.
It can go no for me.
And Allie, you're a yes on
I'm
this.
A yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's bring the monkey back in.
All right. Here he is for the final question of this edition of Does Kevin.
Sorry to see this game go.
I know you are, but we're out of time.
Kevin, albums are dead. CDs are dead. Downloads are on the
Correct.
Way out because of the rise of streaming services. Oh. There are so many to choose from with Spotify and Beats Music. But what is the name of Jay-Z's streaming company?
Tidal.
Boom!
Yeah!
Look at that!
Wow.
Yeah! Kevin got it. Jeremy was correct. He said yes. Jeremy also in the drawing.
Oh, you said yes. You're a bold man.
He said,
how about that?
He said you have to know something. That's what he said.
Well, that's incorrect.
And this was right. He was right about this one.
Yeah. And Ralph, you were a...
I was a no. I didn't think you were going to come up with it. I think he would know it when he heard it, but I didn't think he was going to remember it.
That's most things. But there was a story recently, maybe yesterday or the day before, about Jay-Z giving testimony, and they were asking him about what he did for a living, and he forgot Tidal. They were like, he already forgot about it. So that's why.
Exactly.
Kevin, I was a yes, by the way.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you didn't vote hell no once.
Absolutely no way.
And Samantha are both in the drawing. Let's do a drawing to find out who joins us at the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball October 30th at the El Rey with Cage the Elephant, Peking Duck, DJ Jeremiah Red, and a $5,000 costume contest.
The winner is Samantha.
Samantha!
Yeah! Samantha!
Yes! Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much.
Congratulations. Enjoy.
Does Kevin know? Well, I think we all found out.
If you weren't able to be with us yesterday and you missed our interview with Travis Barker from Blink-182, he has a new autobiography out that is called Can I Say? That is just a great read. Really, really, what a fascinating life the dude has led with his share of tragedy. And one of the things that was uncovered in the book is that of the 20-plus surgeries that he had after that plane crash that he survived, he woke up during surgery during 11 of them. Oof. Now, that's my greatest fear in the world. Is being under the knife and under anesthesia and somehow having it coming out of it and not being able to move and not being able to tell the doctor, hey, I can feel what you're doing to me right now.
Now, you said this yesterday. You said this a lot, actually, for a long time.
Yes.
This has been your greatest fear.
My number one fear.
Did it ever happen to you or someone you know?
Thank
or
God it's never happened.
Did you see a scary movie when you were a kid? I mean, is there any way that makes sense?
It makes sense because it's the most terrifying ass thing in the world, Kevin, because you're laying on a table and they think you're out and
right.
You can't feel it and they're cutting into you and you feel it.
Right.
It doesn't need to have happened to me to terrify me.
I'm just saying for most people, there's something that makes them feel that way. I don't know.
Monica writes in. She heard us tease this phone topic earlier this morning. She said, I woke up during surgery. It was an endoscopy colonoscopy. They were taking biopsies, and it hurt a lot. I started arguing with the doctors and nurses, telling them to give me more drugs or to stop immediately. They kept persisting and telling me to calm down and breathe that they were almost done. So I literally started screaming as loud as I could so that they would stop, and finally they did. It gave me PTSD for a few months after the event. That just sounds like a nightmare, like a hellish nightmare.
I woke up once during a procedure in my back where they were putting needles by my spine, and I woke up and I couldn't say anything. But I've also done that another 25 times, and it doesn't terrify me. It sucked.
What's wrong with you?
Well,
How did it not terrify you?
I don't know. I assume for the most part that they know what they're doing, and that they'll knock you out. You won't feel anything, and it's fine.
But you say that, but yesterday there were two people in the studio who have both woken up during surgeries. It doesn't sound to me like it's that uncommon.
Look, it happened to me. If somebody on this show should be afraid, I should be. And I'm saying
Allie,
I'm not.
Do you think it's an irrational fear that I have for this?
No, I think it's absolutely terrifying. But it wouldn't worry me daily. I wouldn't wake up, you know, in a cold sweat thinking about it.
That it's your biggest fear. I mean, you might need to have surgery. You've had surgery before. Mm-hmm. You might need to have surgery in the future. But the numbers are pretty significant in your favor. I mean, it most likely will never happen
to you. But then you think about people that fear flying. They're not going to crash.
Right.
Yeah, we and say then we after talked to Travis Barker.
Travis Barker yesterday. That was one of his big fears.
Yeah, Travis is the outlier on everything.
Yeah.
And by the way, what are the chances I'm ever going to get a tattoo? Nobody ever gets a tattoo. Oh, wait, there's Travis Barker. So we thought it might be interesting to hear. Is it irrational fears we're looking for? It's the thing that you are afraid of that is probably never going to happen to you, but you can't stop worrying about it or thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
Like marriage.
I don't think that's exactly.
There's no danger of that for you, Allie.
What we're talking about there.
Okay.
So we'd like to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us, as always, on the Kevin Bean Show at the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. And let us know what your biggest fear is that you know empirically is never going to happen to you, yet it still terrifies you. Our producer, Dave, King of Mexico, he's in studio. Dave, what's yours?
I have this nightmare, recurring nightmare, where I close my mouth and all my teeth crunch and break and crumble and fall out of my mouth.
Okay.
I've never heard of that before.
Is it just a nightmare?
It's a nightmare, but I truly fear it. Like, so
you
anytime
fear it.
I do. So anytime I see anything on TV or anything like that, I really get sick. And there was just a scene in American Horror Story where that exact same thing happened, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen on TV.
Oh, that's anxiety and stress about transitioning in your life.
Well,
so what's going on?
What's going on?
This show.
How do you know that, Allie? How do you know what fear of your teeth crumbling out of your mouth means?
I read a lot of dream books. I'm single.
Oh, so that's so sad.
Wow. Had you ever heard? I mean, had you ever seen that before? Like Kevin asked me in a movie or anything like that to kind of put that fear into your head. Like, what made you even think of that for the first time?
You know what? I've seen it where someone got hit by a baseball,
right?
And you know, knocked out a tooth and stuff like that. But that didn't bother me because it's baseball. You know, like it was sports.
You're never going to be playing baseball.
You're talking like disintegrating.
Like I'm talking about
mouth.
Like you know, you crunch your mouth and then and everything falls out. Like that's you know.
What's the sound effect for all of them?
All right. We're looking for calls on your greatest fear, and we are going to take those when we come back after the break. But can we squeeze in Logan just real quick from Upland? He's on line three. He's actually calling about the waking up during surgery topic. Logan, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi.
Hello.
I used to work for a company.
Oh, what a shame.
Your
cell phone is breaking up, dude. We're sorry we can't talk to you. But he also woke up during surgery. What about that?
And I'm going to guess isn't as afraid as you are of it.
It's an epidemic, though.
It's
happening
not
almost
really.
Every single person that goes under the knife is waking up now.
Not even close. The numbers
There's
are
no
crazy
such thing as anesthesia anymore.
Wrong.
All right. What's your greatest fear, even though you know it will never happen to you? It's something that haunts your daydreams and your night dreams. Sarah, you hang on. We're going to get to you first when we come back right after this on the world famous K-Rock. Comedian Anthony Jeselnik joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm looking forward to that very much. A little bit after 8, actually. Taking calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 on the irrational fear you have that is probably never going to happen to you. Like, mine is waking up during surgery. Kevin's right. The odds are in your favor that the anesthesia is going to stick. But it does happen to some people, and I am terrified of it. Listen to this one. Katie texts in, I have an irrational fear that I'm going to be crushed by a freeway overpass when I am stopped underneath them.
Wow.
Doreen writes in, I am afraid that a plane is going to fall on my house. Most people think that it's crazy for me to worry about it, but it does happen. Yeah, she's absolutely right. A couple times a year in the news, there's somebody just sitting around in their house and a plane or part of a plane falls on them. It does happen.
Well, those are bad people.
Those are terrible people,
first of all. It works out like that.
But second of all, the odds against that are astronomical.
But the odds against
you spend
winning
time
the lottery are astronomical
that.
Too, but somebody does, Kevin. Just because the odds are long doesn't mean it's not going to happen to you.
It most likely is not going to happen to you. Yes, that's what it means.
1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Sarah. She's up first, line one, Moreno Valley.
Hey, Sarah.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I have a serious problem. Well, I wouldn't call it a serious problem, but I'm terrified of doo-doo streaks in the toilet because I have this fear. I've never had a seizure. But I am convinced that one of these days there's going to be doo-doo streaks and I'm going to have a seizure and fall on the toilet with my mouth open.
Wait.
What just happened? Wait. What?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how to process. So you're saying that if there are any remnants in the toilet, your fear is that you're going to have a problem where you have to throw up and then you will pass out?
No, I'm going to have a seizure.
Seizure, okay.
I'm afraid I'm going to have a seizure and fall on the toilet with my mouth open.
And do you have seizures right now?
No, I've never had one.
Okay, Sarah.
You're just afraid of having a seizure.
We went to the craziest person in our audience first.
Yes, we did.
That's insane.
That has so many layers.
Every day.
You think about that every day.
Every day. It used to be that I'd say, oh my goodness, I'm afraid I'm going to have a seizure. And now it's become, thank God I didn't have a seizure.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
I know.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Adele Riverside, line 8. Irrational fears that are likely never going to happen to you, but you can't stop thinking about them. Adele, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. My fear is bears. And like gut wrenching, terrified of the claws on bears.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a bad way to go.
Right?
Or is it?
You can't outrun them. You can't out-climb them.
Do you spend a lot of time out in nature where a bear might get to you?
No.
You never do. Do you think a bear might come into your house?
No, but my brother sends me pictures of them on my phone. Ooh. I have to delete them.
Well, he's doing the right thing, first of all.
Yes, he is. if I see it on TV, I have to walk away. I have turned down family vacations. I refuse to go. I won't let my husband take my children.
Wow. But you live in a state where there are lots of bears, you know.
Yeah, but I live in Riverside. There's not so
many. I'm just saying. You don't know, man. You don't know.
I feel being. It hurts my stomach to even think about it.
That is really something else. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
What a way to go, though. A bear attack?
That's a terrible way to go.
Is it, though? I mean,
yes,
that's ultimate nature just taking you out. Like right now.
I need help in my house. A bear attack. Okay. I am on 911.
Where are you at, sir?
Hello?
Where are you at? All right, stay on the line. Stay on the line. We'll transfer over to medical, okay?
What?
Stay on the line. We'll transfer over to medical.
Okay.
Oh, you just traumatized that listener, B.
Wait, was that really a bear in their house?
Yes.
Okay, that's terrifying.
Yes, you were saying it sounds like a good way to go, Alex.
In nature, like if you're in the bear's community, but if he's like in Culver City, screw that bear.
Let's try Barbara Long Beach. 1-800-520-1067. She's on line 3, please. Irrational fears. Barbara, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
So I have an irrational fear of being in buildings with a lot of stuff in it. So I can't go into like a department store where all of the kitchen appliances are on the top level.
Okay.
I feel like it's just going to collapse in on me.
Oh.
Even a one-story building? It's not like the fear of tall buildings?
It has to be like multi-story buildings, but okay. I'll even be like uncomfortable in my house because it's on stilts. So I can't have too much stuff in my house because it's old. It might fall. I might die in my sleep. I don't know.
Wow. I thought Bean was crazy. I didn't realize our listeners were more crazy. Yeah.
So do you, I mean, is this boiled down to earthquakes? I mean, that's your big fear is earthquakes?
No. I think earthquakes are funny, actually.
No, those are funny. Yeah, those are good.
But isn't that how a building is most likely to collapse on you in the event of an earthquake?
I know, but I'm thinking more of like
more weight.
So much heavy stuff that there's it just might fall at any moment. My hands are like sweating right now thinking about it.
Wow.
And I work in a building that is. I work in on the 14th floor of a building.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
You may need to rethink that. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
I don't know what to
Marcy
say about
writes
it.
In. I'm afraid if I use my air conditioning in my car, it will explode. And yes, I have driven to Las Vegas in the summer without the air on for that reason.
Oh.
Wow.
No.
How about that?
No.
Sandy from Southgate, I fear with all my life of being buried alive in a coffin or anywhere. That's a pretty common fear. From the 626, I'm afraid that I will get attacked by a shark when I'm in a pool.
In a swimming pool.
In a swimming pool, yes.
Let's do one more.
Kyle and Menifee. I'm sorry we can't get to Paul, who's afraid of drive-by shootings, by the way, because, look, it happens. You're randomly just standing on a street corner, and you get hit by a stray bullet. I understand where Paul's coming from, but we only have time for one more. Let's make it Kyle.
All right. Hi, Kyle.
Hey.
You're scared to death of what?
I'm scared to death of dead cats.
I'm afraid they're going to pop back up and attack me.
Do you come across a lot of dead cats?
When I live in the suburbs now, but when I used to live in Philadelphia, I lived in the inner city, and I would see lots of dead cats, and I would have to, like, for instance, there was one on the way home in an alley, and it was there for a few weeks, so I walked an extra four blocks home because I didn't want to walk past that dead cat.
Because you think after 4 weeks, that cat is going to come back to life and attack you.
I was afraid of the cat, yes.
I mean, if any animal is, it's going to be
a cat. It's going to be a cat, right, but no animal is.
Yep. I don't know. I'm with Kyle on this. Plus right. Philly.
Plus Philly. That's a good point and thought. It's Garrick Q, the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Right? Who's with me?
I'm with you. Dear Kevin and Bean, Ben writes in, thank you for talking about Back to the Future Day today. I've been looking forward to this day since I was 9 years old.
Well, Ben, congratulations. It's finally here.
Thursday, October 21st, 2015.
Great Scott, with the man. Showbiz beat.
I'm going to go Brown back in time him. To when you're 9 years old. And make you not an idiot.
Oh, Ben.
He doesn't want to hear that from Doc Brown.
No,
come on.
He doesn't. Yeah, as Bean mentioned, it is Back to the Future Day. On the Today Show this morning, you already missed it, but they had the original cast reunited. It was Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson were all back together again, telling tales of making those films. And they seem like they're still very close and very loving towards each other. So that was nice. But you can find it online, the clip. It's very pleasant.
I thought that Doc Brown was an old man when I saw that movie in 1985. It's stunning to me that he's still alive.
Well, he wasn't, and they olded him up.
Yeah.
And now,
I guess I didn't realize Christopher Lloyd was not that old.
And now he just rolls out of bed, and now he looks exactly like Doc Brown. So he's been able to play the same character over the years with less and less makeup to the point now where they don't need any makeup at all. It's magical. He is not shy either about playing that role. He loves that role.
Oh, is that right?
He loves revisiting it and has done it in many occasions. Remember the Back to the Future ride at Universal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He shot the little sort of introductory videos and stuff that while you're waiting in line, you could see him. And then, of course, was part of the ride. He's done a couple viral commercials as that role for Lego and other products.
A lot of times people hate that one thing that they're known for.
I know, and I think it's so cool that he loves the character and will reprise it when he gets the opportunity. He was in a movie that I was in called A Million Ways to Die in the West with Seth MacFarlane. If you saw that film, you remember that it took place in the Old West, and Seth MacFarlane's walking down the street late at night, and he sees something odd going on in the barn. He goes in there, and there's Doc working on his DeLorean. He's like, what's that? He goes, weather experiment. Anyway, it's good stuff.
I should see that movie.
You never saw A Million Ways to Die in the West?
I did.
You're a terrible person.
In the goddamn movie, and you couldn't be bothered to watch that film?
Did you see Ted? Ted 2?
I don't think I saw Ted. I don't think I saw Ted either.
What a relentless bastard you
asshole.
Are.
Asshole.
I'm sorry.
Ralph's in those movies.
I know.
But he watched La Volantula.
I did see La Volantula because it was on TV.
Because it was on TV. You know what? All these other films are also available on TV.
Yeah, I got to start paying attention. I guess there's going to be a Ralph Garman Film Festival one day and I'll get caught up.
If one of his radio buddies is on a podcast out of Sweden, Bean will hunt it down and have it transcribed into Braille.
He is a dick.
But he won't just watch a movie that I'm in.
Yeah.
Dumb son of a bitch.
Come on, you guys.
You're a dumb son of a bitch. I agree with that lady. You know who else is a dumb son of a bitch? That Donald Trump. What's wrong with him? He canceled on our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. Canceled on him.
He's the next president of the United States of America. He's got more important things to do than go on a little laughs and giggles show.
Supposed to make his appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. Just hours before he was set to appear, he canceled.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
It was never going to be an interview. It was just some bit, apparently, that he was going to participate in on the Jimmy Show. But still, you don't cancel like that last minute.
No.
Maybe he's busy building that wall already. Maybe he's already down there with some cinder blocks and some
I'm guessing he's not going to be the one doing it.
You don't think?
No.
Put on a hard hat, just get to work?
I don't think so.
Tonight, Jimmy has Bernie Sanders booked on the show, which will be great. And on Back to the Future Day, we were just talking about, Jimmy's also scheduled to interview Michael J. Fox. So.
All right.
People are really into this Back to the Future thing.
Yeah, they sure are.
Look, I love those films, too. I just happen to be a date in a film that I liked. I don't have to live it. I don't have to be in it.
No, but it's fun. It's nice. It's a nice
yes?
way to remember the movie, I think.
Because you forgot about it until today?
Well, I haven't seen it.
That's true. It's not a fun way for you to remember the movie because you never saw the movie.
You can't be excited about today if you didn't see the movie. I'm sorry. I'm ruling on that. You just can't.
Wait, Bean hasn't seen it? I thought Donna hadn't seen
it. Wait, will you not allow it?
I will not allow it if you haven't seen Back to the Future.
If you haven't seen it, screw you, Bean.
Right?
Shut up.
I just think it's fun.
You haven't seen it.
But now today's the day.
You haven't seen the movie Back to the Future 2.
I don't believe I have, no.
Well, screw you. How can you say it's amazing and cool if you've never seen the film?
It's what's fun about it. You didn't see the movie. It doesn't remind you of anything.
It's fun for the people who've seen the movie. Even the marginal amount of fun, I believe it is. I've seen the film. At least I own that much of it. How can you be excited about it having never seen the film?
Maybe I thought you were in it. Maybe that's what it was.
This is what Bean does, is he gets excited about things that
he totally
thinks...
It's totally manufactured.
Totally.
He's from an alien race where they just implant feelings into the android to make them seem human.
Isn't this a great day?
I'm very excited for this thing that I have no real attachment to because I've never participated in it.
You get no chocolate milk today, sir.
No, none.
But I have Back to the Future feelings.
No, you don't have Back to the Future feelings.
You can't. You haven't seen it.
You know what? The wiring is starting to cross, and finally the motherboard's breaking down. And slowly but surely, we're starting to get the real story.
Yeah.
Like when things go, an asteroid created the Grand Canyon. Like, there's the little misfires on the motherboard that are starting to show the cracks in the hardware.
I think it's time to, is it?
Cuba's an ecosystem that's been closed. He chooses Cuba with the rainforest. It's starting to happen now where there's a malfunction.
Is it time to power me down or buy a new model or something?
I'm saying it might be time for the mothership to come pick you up.
I like it.
And lastly, people want to see the Star Wars movie, it turns out.
What?
It's nuts. Star Wars The Force Awakens has established a new record, surpassing The Hunger Games for the most movie tickets purchased on the first day of its available online sale. So Fandango reports that it has shattered The Hunger Games. Hunger Games was the previous record holder. These orders, pre-orders for tickets for Star Wars The Force Awakens, were 8 times the order for The Hunger Games.
Wow.
Traffic online surged 7 times more than its peak level in less than 24 hours. So in terms of buying tickets available online before a screening is opening, movie is opening rather, this is unprecedented.
We're not going to be able to see this till next summer.
All the tickets are taken. Oh, they're all
What's
gone.
What's happening?
Yeah, it's nuts. You going to see that, Bean?
Yeah, I think I'll go see that.
He lied?
Yeah, he lied.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars were born on today, the 21st of Rocktober! You guys are good.
Yeah.
Can't stump you.
That's what I'm known for.
Judy Shineland. Judge Judy herself, 73 years old today.
That's baloney.
No, it's not baloney.
It doesn't make sense.
It does. You were born 73 years ago. It makes perfect sense. Ken Watanabe's 56 years old. Porn star Kim Kardashian is 35. Amber Rose. Lovely and talented Amber Rose is 32. She's from Philly now. Philly girl.
Oh.
Yep.
Not
a lot of dead cats in Philly. If you know that or not. Former Dodgers pitcher Zach Greinke, as he's known, 32 years old today. And speaking of Star Wars, Princess Leia herself, is she queen now? Is she Queen Leia in the new one? Does she get a promotion?
Oh, I don't
She's
know.
She's still
the
just a princess?
I don't know. Let's ask our expert.
Yes.
Allie.
I don't think we know yet.
Does she run into Ken?
I hope so.
In this future?
Kylo Ren will be Ken.
Stop it. There's no Star Wars
character named Ken. Emperor Palpatine's grandson. Yes, in the young Jedi Prince Star Wars books from the 90s.
This is why you fail.
Carrie Fisher turns 59 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He is sometimes called the Dark Prince of Comedy. Anthony Jeselnik joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. But first, Gwyneth Paltrow back in the news, you guys.
She's the best, isn't she?
Oh, I love her.
So relatable.
Love her so much.
Anyone subscribing to Goop? Anyone reading the Goop at all?
No.
From time to time, Miss Paltrow, the Academy Award-winning actress, will dispense medical advice to her 1.3 million followers on Twitter as well. And we talked about her a few months ago when she was talking about the vaginal herbal steam. I don't remember what she was trying to cure with that, but I don't even – she seems to like heat because now she says she's got the flu, and she's trying to get rid of the flu, so she's going to the sauna to get rid of the flu. That's the ticket right there, is an infrared sauna. Is what she's trying to knock out her flu. So that's the advice that she's passing along to Goop readers. Now,
does that knock out the flu?
Well, it doesn't. There's no medical backing to that at all.
I know, but there's some steam helps, like if you have congestion or stuff like that. That can
It loosens up the gunk in your chest.
Yeah. But it certainly
there's a lot of problems with the theory that people are suggesting. Like, I don't know, if you're contagious, you shouldn't be taking it into a sauna in close quarters with a lot of other people.
That's a good point.
She it also dehydrates you.
She probably has her own sauna, though, Bean.
Yeah, she probably does have one at home. It also dehydrates you when you go into a sauna, obviously, which is, again, the opposite of medical advice. If you have a flu, you're supposed to stay hydrated, drink lots of water. So we wanted to talk to Gwyneth and find out why she is passing along information like this. If medical science is all lining up and saying everything she advises is a bad idea, what's up with you, Gwyneth Paltrow?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Gwyneth?
I'm good.
Okay.
Do you guys read Goop?
Not really, no.
It's
no,
really
but we see
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Goop.
Right.
You do love Goop.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hi.
We don't read this site because it's a lot of information for rich people, really. I mean,
it's not. Everyone gets the flu.
Right.
That is true.
Hi.
Okay.
Right, everyone gets the flu, but
yes,
if you get
the flu, you should go into a sauna.
Okay, but
and
again,
remove all the moisture from your body.
That is medically the opposite of what doctors advise, though, which is to drink lots of fluids and stay hydrated.
I'm pretty sure that's not true.
it's definitely true.
Definitely get a lot of heat and something that makes you dry and tired. Bye.
No, hold.
What?
Gwyneth, that's terrible advice. That's why doctors are coming out and saying, don't listen to Gwyneth Paltrow. She's an actress, not a doctor.
But I'm also an Academy Award winner.
Right, but still not a doctor.
Still not a doctor.
But I'm wealthy.
Right.
That's true.
Yes, still not a doctor.
And Steven Spielberg's my godfather.
That is actually true. Okay.
So,
yeah,
but doctor,
sauna.
But
sauna.
But doctor or not doctor?
If you have an ailment, I can cure it because I have Goop. Name an illness, I'll tell you to get rid of it.
All right. What if somebody is listening and they are suffering from kidney stones, one of the most painful things a human can go through?
Pack your anus with ice cubes and mint.
And mint?
Ice cubes and mint?
Yes.
How would that work exactly?
Well, the mint opens up your capillaries, and the ice cube will make the stones go, brrr, it's cold in here, let's get out of the body.
Wow.
Max.
Okay.
Syphilis.
Syphilis. That's easy. Take a banana peel
and
shave it with a cheese grater.
Okay.
Shut up, Omar.
Wait,
you have a guy named Omar there?
Yes. That's Omar weird. Goop is his name.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay, all right.
You take the banana peel shavings and you pack them into your urethra.
Oh.
And then you burn some sage. And the sage and the banana peels together will... open up your urethra to the size of a toilet paper roll.
Oh, I don't think you want that.
And you go in there with a Q-tip and some alcohol and just clean it all out.
Oh, man.
Very exact.
Problem solved. Nick.
Okay. Oh.
Wow. Isn't it interesting that the first disease that came to mind from Allie was syphilis, though?
That's
true. That was top of mind, wasn't it?
That is odd.
Kevin, do you have anything?
I'm with you, girlfriend.
Do you have anything, Kevin, that you'd like to run by Gwyneth Paltrow to get healed by?
I don't know. I don't want to hear more about stuff in your anus and your pee hole.
Where these problems have been. I can cure anything.
All right. Let's say you have pink eye.
Oh, pink eye. Yes. Grab a rabbit and rub it in your eye.
Grab a rabbit.
Yes, because rabbits already have pink eyes.
Okay.
So the albino ones do, right.
Pink eye plus pink eye equals regular eye.
Oh. You know, this is so interesting, Gwyneth. We were prepared to make fun of you for your ridiculous medical advice, but it sounds like you're making a lot of sense.
Thank you. Science.
It has been a while. Too long, I say, since our next guest joined us in studio. He is stand-up comedian Anthony Jeselnik, whose new Netflix special, Thoughts and Prayers, is currently airing. Anthony, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you. Congratulations on the special. So how does it work with Netflix? We don't have the overnight ratings that we're used to seeing with things that are on the real TV. What kind of word do you get back from the company when a show goes up?
You don't get any word back. They never say anything. They'll always say, oh, it's doing great. But they say that to everyone, so you can't trust them. You just kind of look at what you hear online or what people say on Twitter. And so far, the reception's been excellent.
You shot it up in San Francisco.
That's right.
On purpose.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to ask you about that because we talked to a lot of comedians on this show, and it's a surprise to me how different it is around the country where you're doing your show. I mean, a joke that kills in City A can bomb in City B. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think it depends on kind of how crazy the city is. You know, and there were certain jokes on this special that I kind of need the audience to not want me to tell. You know, if I set up a joke, sometimes people are like, yes, do it. That sounds like it's going to be racist, and I don't like that. I want them to be, like, afraid. In San Francisco, they are afraid of everything. So it was like pulling teeth, but in the best possible way.
Now, you do work your way into tougher and tougher material for people's stomach.
Yes.
I like that you warn people.
Yeah, I like that.
It, so.
Yeah. I like that you tell people, okay, that joke was just to see what the audience is going to be like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before you move on to stuff that's more offensive.
Yeah, I like to introduce child molestation early. And then build from there. You know, like, if you could laugh at that one, that's great. But I still have challenges coming up for you.
It's actually something I've never seen in a comedy special. I watch a lot of them. And you go from everything from the one-liners. Then you've got this long story, which the payoff of the grandma story is awesome.
Thank you.
But then the last half of it is some of the most brilliant stuff I've ever seen. Was that a choice as you were going through it? Did you know that's how you were going to do the show?
I knew I was going to end it with brilliance.
You did.
You know, I
good.
Knew that
Nailed
I was
it.
Going to build to something just amazing no one ever seen. But no, I had these things that I had to talk about after my television show. And I had about a half an hour of material, but I had these stories. And I thought, I need to go tour until I can get this hour together because it was kind of time sensitive. Mm-hmm. I needed to get that out. But it was the first time I've actually used comedy as therapy for myself, you know, to kind of talk about what makes me angry and why I choose to joke about these dark things. And I was afraid that people would reject it. That they would say, oh, we love your one-liners, Anthony, but we don't want to hear this stuff. We don't want you to get personal.
Oh, that was the best part.
But people they've embraced it, so I've been very happy.
Yeah,
it is interesting that the comedy special is in two parts. There's the material, the jokes, and then there's stuff that you make funny that actually happened in your real life. And it is a very different time to be a comedian in 2015 than it was 10 years ago even, right?
You know, I think so. I think you're always going to have guys who were doing, you know, the things that I'm doing now. You know, you had guys like Bill Hicks, like Sam Kinison, who kind of bared their soul and didn't really care how vulnerable they seemed. They just wanted to kind of share everything with the audience. So it's not something that unique, but I am one of the only people who can pull it off today.
Today is a rough time, though, in comedy because everybody gets offended by every single thing. Does that fuel you?
I don't think it's a rough time. I think it's an exciting time. You know, I look at it as a challenge, and if you can get through that obstacle course when things are so tough today, it just makes – I think it's a higher level of skill. It impresses me more. You know, if everyone's laughing at everything, then nothing's funny. But when it's really tough to make a joke about these horrible things and I can find that nugget of gold, I'm very happy.
But you're kind of different in that way. And a lot of people say, oh, no, it's free speech. I should be – and they get really worked up about it. You're kind of – you seem content that some might find you to be – a sociopath.
Yes. And I've asked my therapist many times if I'm a sociopath. And she hasn't given me an answer yet.
Oh, I can tell you.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Do you pay her?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit with comedy.
Right.
But no, I think that I hate saying free speech.
Yeah.
You know, free speech is for politicians. Free speech is for people protesting. It's not for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy, you have to make people laugh. It doesn't matter how free your speech is. You need to be entertaining the crowd. So just be funny. And if your joke's not funny enough, it's not because they're too PC or it's too edgy for them.
It's just
you didn't make the joke good enough. Yeah.
So there are no topics, you know, and one of the things that you got in trouble for that was well covered was your Boston Marathon tweet. And that's an example of something that a lot of people would look at and go, well, that's just a topic that's off limits because it's too real and it's too raw and it's too painful. You don't have anything in that category in your mind, right?
No, I just think that the eye of the needle is smaller. You know, so it's more impressive. If you can pull out a great Boston Marathon joke day of, then it's amazing. And it's I would say, almost impossible to do. I think I may have just missed with my joke. But the upsetting thing was that I took the joke down. Was that Comedy Central got me to delete the joke. That was what I was upset about, not so much the audience blowback. Because they're welcome to get mad at me on the day of the tragedy. I understand that. You have these feelings going on, someone made a joke, you can get upset. But I think you get over that eventually, whereas I never got over deleting my joke.
You seem angry.
I am. I'm still less angry after having shot the special. Like, I don't really talk about it on stage anymore, but it's still right there. Yeah.
At the time, were you – because, look, nothing as high profile or as public as what you went through, Anthony. But, you know, we have this job where we have a lot of listeners, and we've been in trouble throughout the years and been suspended a few times. And you are hit with just so many emotions at one time, and anger is definitely one of them. Fear is definitely one of them. Sadness is definitely one of them. I mean, it's weird that that's part of your job as a comedian, that all of those things would hit you sometimes.
Absolutely, but I think that's the most real. I think you get comedy out of that, and it's going to be great comedy.
Yeah, maybe we don't do that well, Bean. I should think about that.
Anthony Jeselnik is here. The stand-up special is available on Netflix. It is called Thoughts and Prayers. It just premiered this last Friday night at the Fillmore Theater in San Francisco. And it is, what did we say earlier today? With the holidays coming up, you're going to have all these opportunities where you're together with the family, with grandma and grandpa, with the little nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. There are very few things in the world that we can recommend that everybody can enjoy as a family. Wouldn't you say this is one of them?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of awkward Thanksgivings and Christmases where people sit down and like, oh, let's check out this Thoughts and Prayers special. It's got the word prayers in it.
It has prayer in it. What could go wrong?
He's going to talk all about Christmas. It would be great.
More with Anthony when we return right after this on K-Rock. Comedian Anthony Jeselnik in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His special is called Thoughts and Prayers, streaming now on Netflix. Here's a taste.
I of course, live in Los Angeles. I've got a nice place, obviously. My brother's been staying with me for a couple of weeks now, which has been awful. My brother's crazy. Even my neighbors hate him. The other day I opened up the door, I caught him masturbating. He looks me right in the eyes and goes, "Shut the door." I said, "Get inside."
I went through the whole hour. There's about 45 seconds of the special I can play on the radio, and that is part of it. So hope you enjoy it. Anthony, you were part of this latest season of Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, I was.
Want to make sure I got my research correct. You were hosting Last Comic Standing with Norm MacDonald and Keenan Ivory Wayans, I think, was on it. Roseanne was on it. What do you make of new people who are trying to get into comedy today? What are your observations about them?
You know, I think it's the same that it's ever been. I think any time a comic starts out, they kind of rip off who they like the most for about a year, and hopefully they find their own voice outside of that. And you just hope that they try to do something different in comedy. You know, there's people who are kind of funny and serviceable on stage. They kind of get the job done. But I'll always call it the, and I'll censor myself here, the who gives a crap test.
Right.
Like, they're funny, you enjoy them, but who cares about what they're talking about? And you hope that comics can kind of break out of that mold. But there's always going to be massive swaths of mediocrity in the comedy community.
And I would think that any time you're trying to get into the entertainment industry, or into sports for that matter, that those are just occupations where 99.99999% of the people are just not going anywhere, right? So it's incredibly difficult to break through and be successful in areas like that.
Yeah, you need the right combination of talent and perseverance. I know a lot of people who, you know, they would run through a brick wall for this business, but they don't have the talent. People who are so talented, they just don't work hard enough, and they fall by the wayside. So you need a combination of skills.
It drives me crazy when I hear, you know, superstars get behind a microphone and say, you always have to believe in your dream and everything else. Then you watch the beginning of American Idol, where those people get on and they really fully believe that they can sing, and they are not going to take a no from anybody. And they should.
Yeah.
They should be talked out of it.
Yeah. There's a
lot
of
everybody
people.
Should stick with it.
It's like, yeah, you're never going to get better. you should go.
What was your journey like in terms of starting out in comedy? Did you find a voice relatively quickly, or did it take you an awfully long time to get to where you are?
I got lucky. I found it pretty quickly. I think after about a year of doing stand-up comedy, and I had taken a stand-up comedy class where they kind of taught you to talk about your life. But I was 23 years old, and there was nothing that I had to say that you would ever want to listen to. You know, I had no authority whatsoever. I didn't really have any life experiences. And then I saw someone doing open mics doing one-liners at an open mic. I thought, oh, you're allowed to do that. You know, I'd always loved Stephen Wright, Mitch Hedberg, Rodney Dangerfield, but they seemed like untouchable geniuses, almost alien to me. Then once I saw like a colleague doing it, I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. So I went and I thought, what's the funniest thing in the world to me? And those were Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I loved them. It was that how did he think of it type thing. So I would buy all the books. I would go to open mics early. I would read them, and I would write my own jokes. And then after about 6 months of that, I wrote one that had a mean twist to it. You know, they all had twists, but this one had a mean one. And the audience, and they were all comedians, like bitter, you know, idiot comedians, who went, ooh. And I knew that I was just like a train on the tracks, just keep following that. And I knew immediately that I had something. I was very happy.
Are you the only guy in comedy today doing dead baby jokes?
I mean, I'm the only one who has as many as I do. I think maybe a comic might have one every once in a while, but I think I've almost got a copyright on it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I honestly don't know if I could squeeze out any more. Like there's a lot on this album, and I've got several on all of my specials and all my albums, but this one was, I think, like 10 in a row. I really knocked it down.
Do you ever get any kind of, let's see if I can phrase this question. I mean this as a compliment. It may not sound like that. But do you ever get any pushback from people who don't like the attitude that you have where you know you are great at what you do? And whereas most people try to be modest, you go the other way and you over the top tell people, I'm rich because I'm great at this. Does anyone ever call you on that?
I can see people like that. I can see the looks on their faces. I'm not very approachable off stage. The people kind of leave me alone after a show. But I can tell if you don't enjoy it. I just thought it was very funny to talk on stage the way a lot of comedians feel inside. The ego and the, you know, just the ego of the comedian is such a dark place and such like a place full of insecurity, and you really believe you're the best that no one ever talks about it on stage. They'll try to be all kind of self-deprecating and everything, and then backstage they're jerks. I thought, let me be the jerk on the stage and hope people can appreciate it.
Do you focus on somebody in the audience that seems to not be enjoying themselves? Like, is that an extra challenge for you?
I'll glance at them a little bit. Yeah. I don't want to talk to someone in the crowd if they're not having fun.
Uh-huh.
But I'll make eye contact and let them know that if I decided to turn on you, I could make this entire show about our relationship right now. And then
you do that on this special. You find some people in your audience in San Francisco that they almost are so great it seems like they're plants, but it's just because you know what to do with them regardless of what they say to you, right?
It's funny, but it's so hard to do stand-up on a special because I do a lot of crowd work in my act. It's fun to just, you know, have jokes for just that audience. But on a special, they know a camera's on them. So they refuse. No one answers honestly. They try to come up with a joke answer. They're so scared that if I make fun of them in the special, it's going to be immortalized.
It's terrifying. I was watching it thinking, if I was in that audience and those laser eyes went on me, I don't know what I do. Like, it is terrifying. And as you're delivering a joke and you hear people start to laugh, at a couple points you get this kind of grin because you know what's coming. And it makes me laugh so hard because I'm like, oh, God, buckle up. Something bad's about to happen. You do that, and it's so good.
Thank you. I get such delight out of telling the first out of six dead baby jokes.
Yes.
And the crowd's like, no. I'm like, well, I've got five more. And I can't change it here. I'm on course. And then I really start to laugh, thinking, like, this is going to go in a fun direction.
You said that you read feedback on Twitter and other places. I can't imagine you just don't get barraged with bad comments, people that are angry, you made fun of whatever. We always say on the show, everybody likes everything that's funny unless it's what they're going through. And if it's what they're going through, then they hate it and you shouldn't say it.
Sure, I'll get that all the time, but I always have the perfect answer. It's like, well, you laughed at the cancer joke. You know, you laughed at the pedophile joke. Like, you can't laugh at these horrible things and then be like, oh, Anthony, this one is off limits to me because I get them all. The reason comics get in trouble because they're kind of friendly. You know, they talk about men and women are different, and then they have some, like, weird joke about AIDS and everyone gets upset. But so they can't really handle that. You can't get mad at me. I've got the perfect argument.
Which is the whole rest of your special.
Exactly. It's all horrible.
This is the voice of comedian Anthony Jeselnik here on the Kevin DeBeach. We're talking about, among other things, the new special on Netflix that's out now called Thoughts and Prayers, which you should definitely get. How well adjusted are you in real life, Anthony? We hear so much about comics are, you know, really hurting on the inside and insecure and having trouble relating to other people. What's your real life like, the non-onstage Anthony Jeselnik?
I do all right. I would say I kind of I don't know if I have the comic neuroses, but I have like the writer's neuroses. Like if you know anything about you know novelists or the kind of the things they go through, I probably drink too much. You know, I probably hate myself more than you would imagine. Someone who looks like me would hate themselves. but otherwise I do all right. You know, I was raised well, and I'm still a comedian. But I think as far as comedians go, I'm a pretty normal one. You know, I'm a pleasant surprise compared to the graveyard of personalities.
But you feel like you're too buff sometimes, though, right? Isn't that a problem a little bit? Is that you're too handsome and too well-built?
Yeah, I would say. You know, that's more criticism I get from the rest of the world. But yeah, I mean, I might you know, cut my push-ups in half this morning. You know, only do 50 instead of the normal 100.
Well, just to be fair to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you're just so far out in front. So now that this special is released into the world, is it dead to you and now you have to start over?
I do. I have to start over. And since most of my stuff are short jokes, one-liners, I kind of have to bring that with me and just start replacing things. And I think the end of the special with the stories has been so well received that I like to do more of that, you know, kind of explore myself a little more. But I really have to just kind of go back to the Comedy Store this weekend and just start from scratch. And it's pretty painful, but you get good stuff out of it. You kind of have to go and bomb for a little bit.
I was thinking that your style of comedy, because you burn through so many different jokes, must be impossible to rebuild.
It's tough. It's daunting, but it's just brick by brick. And you just keep on throwing them in there. After a couple of years, you're close to the hour.
Does it take you a couple of years?
It has in the past. I mean, my first album took me about 8 years to do, but that was when I was kind of starting out. The next one took 2, and this one took 3. So,
wow.
So we'll see. It depends on how busy I get and what I'm able to do on the road.
Is there any part of you that wants your own show again, like you had on Comedy Central? Or have you feel like you've kind of been burned by that experience?
No, I think, you know, the Comedy Central, I wasn't burned by the experience, but I learned a lot from it, you know, and some of that education burned me. But I would like to do something a little different. You know, I'm working with FX right now on a TV show that would be more a little me acting, kind of more based on my life, sort of like a Louis type show. But it's very early stages, might never see the light of day. But I'm interested in doing things like that, just anything that's out of my comfort zone, anything I haven't done before.
Is it important where you take that? Like you go to FX because you know that they put stuff on that not everybody's into?
Semi-important. You know, I had a couple different options, but FX is a great place for comedy.
Agreed.
Right now, and they kind of let you do your thing. You know, if you have kind of a strong enough idea, they'll say, go do it and bring it to us, and then we'll see if we put it on the air. Whereas some networks will say, we need to be involved from the get-go. We need to tell you how this should work, and I don't really work that way.
I would agree with you if they hadn't done Jim Jeffries' show Raw. I'm still burned by the fact that they canceled his show.
You didn't like the show? Or you didn't like that they canceled?
Loved the show.
Yeah, the show
loved
was great.
Loved the show. So the sad show that they canceled it. I'm mad at FX for that.
It was tough. I'm friends with him, and he says all over the world, because FX is all over the world. Everywhere he goes, they scream catchphrases. They're young. They cannot believe that they canceled it here.
It was hilarious. I couldn't believe they canceled that show. It was one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah, he's
totally
amazing.
Well, I hope yours works out, Anthony. That'd be awesome. We'd love to see more of you. But thank you for this special Thoughts and Prayers. It's so great. Congratulations on the work, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
And it's been too long since we had you. It's good to see you. Let's do it again sometime.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Well, 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
You're a human cartoon.
That song ended a little
food
before.
Food falling out of your mouth. You're falling over yourself.
No, I'm good.
No, you're not.
I'm all good.
You're not even a little good.
I'm a lot of good.
No, you're
first
not
of all
good.
First of all,
you're
all
not
good.
A lot of good. You're just a mess.
Speaking of things that are good, Ralph, we are opening up the telephone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067 for a feature we try to do every day. We don't always have time for it, but it's called What's Good. And this is where you, the Kevin and Bean listener, get a chance to tell us something good, something that we don't know about, something that we should be talking about and we're not. If you've got questions about the show or comments, maybe you've got some thoughts on Halloween with that coming up. You want to talk costumes. You want to talk candy. Whatever it is that's on your mind, give us a call. We want to talk to you.
If you want to talk candy, don't call us. I'm going to say that right now.
We're experts, Ralph.
Nope.
1067.
Not Kevin talking Beans, candy.
What's good?
I'm not wasting
right
my time talking candy on the radio.
We'll talk candy. We'll talk candy all day.
Hey, how about those Rolos, huh? Yeah, they're good.
Sure like those.
Yeah. How about the Tootsie Roll Pop?
As long as we all agree that candy corn is the best Halloween candy,
not,
then they're fine. We don't have to talk about it.
It's the worst.
It
it's
is the
crap.
Worst. It's
rubber.
It's the best.
It's just rubber.
So, we're not going to talk about that, but anything else.
I guess there's room for discussion then. All
nope.
Right. Your call is coming up next. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning.
How can you forget what day it is?
For God's sakes.
He's falling apart.
Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
Great Scott, it's Wednesday.
It's Back to the Future Day, people. It was on this day, in Back to the Future 2, that Marty and Jennifer and Doc had to travel into the future to save Marty's kids. How can we forget? Except for Bean, who's never seen the
movie. It means a lot to Bean.
Bean's very excited about the day.
Mm-hmm. Very excited about today.
But never saw the feature film Back to the Future 2, which we discovered just recently.
But we also discovered, as you pointed out, Ralph, that all three films are streaming on Amazon Prime, and I'm going to make it my mission to see them between now and the end of the month.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
It's not going to happen.
But you have to do that before you're excited about today.
I can be excited about today.
No, you can't.
Okay. BTTF 2 is also playing in theaters all over the country. 1,700 screens will be showing it tonight if you want to get in on the fun. A lot of stuff's going on. USA Today, remember? Well, Bean doesn't remember because he didn't see it. But in the film, famously, Marty gets out of the DeLorean and he finds a Back to the Future USA Today, which talks about all the things that are happening. And so USA Today, in order to get in on the fun, is actually selling that front page, a reproduction of that same front page from the movie. You can get it on newsstands today if you want to pick that up.
Bean's going to buy it, but he didn't see the movie.
That's right.
Very clever of them to do that.
Got Marty McFly Jr. on the front there being arrested. And also one of my favorite articles from that issue, cholesterol may be cancer cure, which I think is spot on. I hope that turns out to be true today. That breakthrough happens.
It would be great.
WeregoingBack.com, by the way, is the website to go to if you're a Back to the Future fan. You want to get in some of the celebrations that are going on today through Sunday. A lot of parties and anniversary parties and things are going on and meetings and greetings. Look, it's a hardcore fan base, the Back to the Future fans.
Ralph, did we go through all of this with the 30th anniversary of the first movie?
No,
a couple
so
years
much.
Ago? No, we didn't.
Because they went, I guess the people in 1955 enjoyed it, though.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, those people were probably celebrating Bean, but you would have to be in 1955 to appreciate the fact that that's the date of the first film. They traveled back into the past.
You know, when you put it that way, it makes my question sound silly.
Really? You think?
I just think you're terrific.
You are. You're a gem. See, if you'd seen the film, before you start talking about them, maybe you would have more.
I feel like Bean fakes everything.
I do, too.
Like sports fans. Yes. He's always talking about sports
and
stuff. He
absorbs a lot of facts and figures and then assembles them in a way that resembles conversation.
Like he doesn't watch the Seahawks ever.
But if you scratch under the surface, no, he just reads the sports page. But if you just scratch under the surface, you start to discover it's all a facade.
Nothing there.
It's an illusion.
Huh.
And by the way, Doc Brown did show up this morning, as promised, in the DeLorean. Showed up from the past with a little message for everybody.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Great Scott! If my calculations are correct, it is now precisely October 21st, 2015. The future has finally arrived. Yes, it is different than we all thought. But don't worry. It just means your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is whatever you make it. So make it a good one.
There you go. A little inspirational message from Doc.
Okay. Bean, what was your favorite scene from Doc?
When he, there was lightning and there was like a clock tower.
Yeah. See, once again, he's extrapolated.
He saw the commercial.
A few facts here and there, and he just takes that and makes a whole memory out of it. That's spectacular. Chris Rock, it has been announced, will be the host of next year's Oscars broadcast.
Yay!
Some people are happy about it. Those kids are happy about it.
I don't remember his last time.
That says something.
Here's the thing about Chris Rock. Chris Rock is awesome and funny and talented when he is comfortable doing his thing. When he is not, I think it's pretty obvious.
Oh, really?
I think you can see Chris Rock struggle sometimes when he's put in a position that is not what necessarily his sweet spot is. So that's how I felt about him last time.
I would see him in stand-up at Universal Studios, and it was he killed for an hour. Killed. But then when he goes on TV, it's like, nope.
Yeah. So, we'll see. But look, we could do a lot worse.
Absolutely.
The producers say Chris Rock is truly the MVP of the entertainment industry. All right, easy. Comedian, actor, writer, producer, director, documentarian. He's done it all. He's going to be a phenomenal Oscar hope, they said, hopefully. So we'll wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Judge Judy Shindlin. Judge Judy of TV's fame. 73 years old today. She is...
I want you to answer my question.
You didn't ask me a question.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. You have to ask me a question.
Not interested, sir.
She's so hard.
She can be bitchy.
She is so hard to deal
with. She's rough.
She is the richest person in television syndication, by the way.
Makes on average. Get Zippo. Nada.
I get none of that music. Money. Or music.
Whatever she's putting
out. She makes roughly $45 million a year off of that show.
Yeah. Yes, she does.
If I can make that in a lifetime, I'd die a happy man. She makes it on a yearly basis.
And how many days do you think she works?
I bet she does it all in a month.
I would think so. She probably knocks it out a couple months, maybe tops, right?
Yeah. I know that's a lot of money. It's crazy, crazy money. But the show's tremendously successful. But she is really good on it.
No, I'm not
very entertaining, very smart. Yeah,
I think she puts together a great show. It's an entertaining show, but is it $45 million entertaining?
I mean, it must. I guess it is to somebody.
If you own it, it is. Yeah.
Ken Watanabe's 56 years old today. Porn star Kim Kardashian turns 35. Amber Rose, the model and sometimes singer actress, she's done some stuff. She's hot. Doesn't matter. 32 years old, Zach Greinke, Dodgers pitcher. Former Dodgers pitcher, right? He's a free agent now? Is that what I heard?
Well, we're hoping he's still a Dodgers pitcher. Oh. All indications are so far he and his wife both would like to stay in Los Angeles, but let's see what the Dodgers are willing to pony up for him.
32 years old, and Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia herself, celebrates her 59th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We want to hear from you on any topic right now at 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show with a little feature that we like to call What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Good indeed, Miley. We got some great calls on the line. Very excited about this batch. Why don't we start with our man Daniel in Newport Beach? He is on line 2 to get us going.
Hey, Daniel.
Good morning, Kevin and B. Morning, Allie.
Good morning.
What's good?
I wanted to see if you guys had heard about the poisonous sea snakes that are coming up from Mexico right now.
Poisonous
yes,
sea snakes?
Yes, I have.
Like
they
in
are
the ocean?
Crazy.
Sea snakes. So you're swimming along and there are these poisonous yellow-bellied sea snakes that apparently are popping up on beaches.
What?
They are 10 times deadlier than the cobra, and they're venomous, as you mentioned. They're poison, and this is the first time they have been in Southern California waters for over 30 years. What do they think is causing that? Like, why are they coming out of nowhere, Daniel? What's the deal?
I'm pretty sure that's from El Nino, so just all the warm water that we've been having, and I'm sure there's just crazy currents from down south that are bringing it all up.
So they're in shallow water, or they're, like, way out in the ocean?
Oh, they're coming up on the beach.
Oh, my God.
Allie's truly afraid of this, so much so that when you said, have you guys heard of sea snake, she said, in the ocean?
So now if you're able to see past your fear of sharks, which we seem to be a lot of in Southern California, especially this year, now you have to worry about venomous sea snakes also.
I love
it. It's just nothing but a party down at the beach these days. All right. Great call, Daniel. Thank you so much for that,
sir.
I appreciate
it.
They're in the water.
Okay.
Yeah. In the ocean.
Yes, they're in the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Valencia. Talk to Luma, line 8, please. She's calling about a subject of interest to us from yesterday's show.
Hey, Luma.
Hey.
What's
this
good?
This is not why I'm calling, but I would never forgive myself if I didn't take a minute to say thank you for fixing my miserable morning traffic every day for the past, like, 15 effing years.
Wow.
I love you guys.
You're very, very kind. Thank you.
Second, David Gahan. I cannot explain. This man is still perfection. Like, after taking an hour and a half of singing all the most amazing new songs off the Soul Savers album, all of a sudden, at the end of the show, he says, Mr. Martin Gore says hi, and he breaks into Condemnation. He breaks into Walking in My Shoes. And the theater at Ace is absolutely beautiful, the hotel, and they completely let you go all the way up to the stage. I was like 3 feet away from this man. He is still a sex pot god. I love that guy. Great show.
Well, that is awesome. Yeah, this venue that he played at the Ace Hotel is one of only six shows that Soul Savers are doing on this tour. The only one in Los Angeles. Then he's in New York, and then all the rest of them are in Europe. So you were very lucky to be part of that small, small crowd to see that show up close. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very old. I would only have done that on a Monday night for David Gahan.
I hear you.
He's worth
it. He is pure sex. Right?
Allie, did you enjoy his visit?
No, I was out of town, what? And it's the worst time of my life, but he sat in this seat,
yeah,
from what
did.
I understand.
He sat right
but,
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
by the way,
pretty much the lowest
Friday
point.
You were out of town, too, because you made yourself a long weekend. You missed your friend Michael Chiklis
well,
was in.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Which, two people
which
I
reminds
really
me, by the way, speaking of Gotham, uh-huh. Let's go to Andrew in Pomona. He's on line 7. He has a topic that's sort of related.
All right. Hey, Andrew.
It's me.
What's good?
Hey, I was actually Robin Lord Taylor is in this movie that I stumbled across on Netflix last night, and I wanted to see if you guys had heard of it. It's called Would You Rather, some sort of rather low-budget horror film, but it was actually pretty decent.
Now, he's the actor who plays the penguin mm-hmm. on Gotham, for folks who
he's
don't
having an affair
name.
With his mom, right?
No, he's
he is
not.
Definitely
she just
doing
gives
his mom.
Him baths.
It's a horror movie, you say?
Yeah, and Lawrence Gilliard, who played Bob on The Walking Dead, he's in it also.
Okay, and what's the would you rather? Do they get put in a horrible, like a Saw situation where they have to choose between two bad things?
Yeah, pretty much some twisted millionaire gathers some people who are all in financial, holes and basically says, would you rather do this or do that? And here's a bunch of money to do it. Some twisted Saw-like movie, but it's actually pretty good.
Right. Okay. Hey, that's a great tip. For people who love Robin Lord Taylor, that might be something they want to check out. Thank you for the call, Andrew. All right, Kevin, when do you have time for one more? You choose. Who do you like?
Wow. I don't want to go with Squatty Potty. I want to go with Graduated from Nerd Miley Cyrus. Let's do Miley Cyrus because, wow, is this bad. Chris in Hermosa Beach.
Hey,
hi.
What's up, guys?
What's good?
Kevin Bean. So, I don't know if you guys heard, but the Flaming Lips and Miley Cyrus are touring together, and for her music video, Milky, Milky, Milk, they're going to perform a show entirely in the nude.
In the nude.
In the nude, and it's said that they're going to be spraying, also the audience has to be nude. They're going to announce what show it is, and the audience has to be nude to show up, and then they're going to spray everyone with a milk like substance to reference
right.
something else. I'm pretty sure Chris Hansen will be in the crowd on that one.
I think it's a great idea, and I hope to attend that show.
Yeah,
Bean, you would never be nude in front of a ton of people.
I do love me some Miley, though.
Oh,
it might be worth it.
But
it might be worth it.
You're next to Gray Bush and then completely shaved. It's a little off kilter. I don't know.
You have given a lot of thought to what you're going to be seeing on stage that night. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. What's good?
This just sort of fades, do we?
Wait. They put a lot of work into this last chord. The least you could do is let it play. Now you can go.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Make a wish. It's 2011.
Okay. Rodney Robbins here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz being here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Rodney and I have gotten in the DeLorean and gone back to 2011. Why are we here? I have no idea.
Back to the call for the Doc Brown voice.
I'm using it today. Back to the Future Day. It was on this day in Back to the Future 2 that Marty and Jennifer and Doc all went to the future to take care of Marty's kids. And here we are now living on the day that they show up, and we're all waiting.
Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
A lot of people just standing in the parking lot at the Puente Hills Mall just waiting for them to show up.
I hope that's true.
Good luck, everyone. Is there really a mall in Puente Hills? That's a real place?
Yes.
Yes, I mean, that was the actual location where they shot.
Right, but does it exist today is what I'm saying. Is it a place that people can go and hang out today mall. In celebration?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. A lot of places in movies are fake, Ralph. I didn't know if there was, in fact, a Puente Hills Mall.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Right.
That's a good question.
Right?
Why would I pick that particular mall if that wasn't where they shot it?
I'm just saying.
So it's a place?
No, what I'm saying is I thought you were mentioning that mall because that's what was in the film, but I didn't know if that was also a real place.
Listen, guy who's never seen Back to the Future 1, 2, or 3, why don't you just not chime in these conversations?
Because I want to play. I want to be part of
the really
party.
Wants to play along.
He really,
really does.
Well, here's a way to start. Go see the movies.
Okay.
He's had a lot to say about these movies today, and he hasn't seen any of them.
About 20 minutes ago, he asked Chip if he could get chocolate milk, and she said, have you seen the movies yet? And he said, in the last 30 minutes, no. She said, no!
And we didn't know. We didn't know he hadn't seen the movies until about an hour ago.
Yeah.
A lot of talking this morning he did about those movies, and then we found out that he had never seen them. He went as far as saying, my wife has never seen any of those films, so I'm thinking about showing them to her. Never mentioning that he hadn't seen the films either.
Be fun for us to watch them together. All right. Casey, Finger on the Button Girl, says that in the film, it is not called the Puente Hills Mall. It's called something else in the movie.
Oh,
it was shot,
the Twin Pines Mall that I called it while we were talking about it?
Yes.
That?
Yes, that's what
you're. Do you feel like
out.
You're furthering this conversation?
Here's the thing,
or
dummy.
Not.
Don't repeat what the other dummy says. Makes you look double dummy.
Double dummy.
Double dumbass on you, sir.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Someone didn't love you enough to show you the Back to the Future movies, that's for sure. I'm not the only one who's angry.
Yeah?
A lot of Back to the Future fans are angry at Pepsi. Because, you know, Pepsi made a big deal. They released Pepsi Perfect. They announced they were going to release Pepsi Perfect, which is the Pepsi that Michael J. Fox gets in the future when he shows up. He's at the diner and he says, oh, I just want a Pepsi. And they give him a Pepsi Perfect. Comes right out of a little Pepsi dispenser in the counter there.
Mm-hmm. And people are upset?
Because Pepsi said, well, we've heard you and we're going to release 6,500 bottles of Pepsi Perfect that you can own yourself for the low, low price of $20.15. And people were waiting last night at midnight to find out where they could be purchased. And apparently they're already all sold out. And now people are furious! You know how furious people get when there's very little availability of getting something that they probably wouldn't have gotten anyway, but when they find out it's sold out, they get really angry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Acoustic Christmas. Well, these are those people.
Yeah.
And they're very upset at Pepsi because they were waiting to buy their bottles of Pepsi Perfect. And
look,
they are...
look, if you're up last night at midnight waiting for that, come on.
Come on, Kevin.
I'm serious.
These people, it's all they have.
I'm saying, come on.
Yeah. Here's one guy wrote on Twitter. If I had a time machine, I would go back and tell Robert Zemeckis to make it a Coke Perfect. Burn!
Wow, moated.
That guy. Megan Marshall writes, so I stayed up till midnight and they released Pepsi Perfect early? Tell me this is a joke! WTF, so pissed!
Sit down.
Sit down.
Kyle Green. Tomorrow morning, everyone should tweet Pepsi a picture of them buying Coca-Cola because they messed up so bad with the release of Pepsi Perfect.
Who are these people?
They are the upset Back to the Future fans who are waiting for Pepsi Perfect. They were dying to pay $20.15 for a 16-ounce bottle of Pepsi Perfect. Well, no Pepsi Perfect for you. They gave a bunch out at the New York Comic Con last weekend. Not 2 weekends ago when I was there. And people were very excited who had them. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, folks, for that.
But hey. Maybe move on.
Here's what something can make it up for you. This will make you feel better. Guys Night Out at the Bike. The Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Guys Night Out, the big poker night. The K-Rock sponsors. And Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to be there. Beer Mug's going to be there playing poker.
Maybe.
Wow. Awesome.
Maybe if you call for an Uber ride, he'll show up. He'll pick you up and then take you to the bike.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I only spent about 45 minutes earlier trying to line up Muggs as an Uber driver. I was like, what are you doing?
He doesn't really Uber.
He doesn't drive.
Well, I want him to do it Saturday.
Right, but he doesn't.
If you'd like
Where's the outrage there?
If you'd like to play poker with the boys from the Kevin and Bean show, you can do so. If you can go to K-Rock, I'm sorry, you go to thebike.com. You can reserve your spot to play poker, or you can be one of the lucky winners. It's happening Friday night at 8 p.m. I've got a spot to play poker at Beer Mug's table.
Yeah!
Right
That's
now.
That's hot!
For guys' night out. Plus, you get a rack of chips worth $200.
Fantastic.
All for the big poker game this Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Why don't you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You've got to be 21 years of age or older to win this contest. So let's make it caller number 21. Caller number 21 will be playing at Beer Mug's Table Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Bike.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
You can go to the Bike.
Peace.
Thebike.com.
Sure, that's the point.
For more details. Speaking of Uber and ride services, Lyft has a fleet of DeLoreans today that are driving through New York City. If you order,
hey,
one. If you, why aren't they where I live?
If you call Lyft, a DeLorean might pick you up this morning to take you to wherever you're going. They will give you a ride in the DeLorean.
Might not make it there, but
because the DeLorean might break down, you mean?
Crap.
It's a good looking car, though. It's good looking. It's a good-looking car.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I've been led to believe there's a suitcase full of cocaine in the trunk of each of them.
Oh.
That's what I remember about John DeLorean, the guy who started the DeLorean car. He enjoyed his cocaine. Wasn't he married to a model/TV presenter, too?
I think so.
Christina Ferrara, wasn't that?
Wow, really?
Wasn't that, I think that was his wife.
Yeah. She's still on the Hallmark Channel.
What?
Kevin, it's catching.
Don't blame me.
She's still on the Hallmark.
Do not blame me for your nonsense.
She's still in a hammock? What did you say?
Hallmark Channel. I'm sorry. I have a bad hammock.
First of all,
she's still in a hammock.
Hallmark has a channel?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's the bits. What else?
What?
Oh, my God.
Was this in the news?
It's an actual partition moment.
Is Allie having heavy potations?
She has a heavy potation right there.
She's melting before our eyes.
Hey, Chris Rock's going to be the Oscar host next year, so you got that. February the 28th will be the broadcast. They've just locked up Chris Rock to be the host, and everyone's very excited.
She's still in the Hallmark Center entrance. Heavy potation.
Are we sure Allie wasn't the heavy potation girl?
We're not
both
positive.
On television.
That's
right?
True.
That is
Do we
true.
Have that? Let's compare. Do we have the heavy potation? Do we have
that?
Well, a very, very heavy potation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrace and look for the bit. They had the pit.
Sounds about right.
I think that was Allie.
Pretty damn close.
It was Allie by the
This is why you fail.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Zach Greinke, Dodgers pitcher extraordinaire, 32 years old today. Lovely Amber Rose celebrates her 32nd birthday. Porn star
she's
Kim...
a farter and a racist.
No, she is not. She's everything good. Porn star Kim Kardashian's 35. Ken Watanabe's 56 years old today. Judge Judy Scheindlin. Of course, Judge Judy from the TV. She's 73 years old today.
I want you to answer my question.
You have to ask a question first before
That's
I...
baloney.
It's not baloney.
It doesn't make sense. It... Not interested, sir. Not interested, sir.
All right.
Not interested,
okay,
sir.
Okay, you're not interested. I understand. I withdraw.
Not my... interested, sir.
I withdraw my case, Judge Judy. And Carrie Fisher.
Not interested, sir.
Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, is 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew on the program. We have
Not interested, sir.
We have David Spade on the program tomorrow. We have your parents got messed up in your social media. That's not good.
No.
Your parents need to stay out of your social media, right?
Right.
And Nathan Fielder will be in studio as well tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin.